KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so before we get to the latest in the Build Back Better drama and whether Joe Biden is going to be able to cram through this $1.75 trillion boondoggle, which actually is not $1.75 trillion, it's actually closer to $3 trillion, as we will discuss, it is important to mention that everything right now in terms of the Democratic hopes relies on Glenn Youngkin not winning in Virginia. So this Virginia gubernatorial race has now become one of the great shockers in modern American political history. The polling shows Glenn Youngkin up. There are two separate polls out yesterday showing Glenn Youngkin up substantially on Terry McAuliffe. Remember, this is a state that Joe Biden won just a few months back by 10 points. Hey, the state has now shifted dramatically against the party of the President of the United States. According to a brand new poll provided to the Washington Examiner, Youngkin is now at 47 and McAuliffe is at 43. Hey, and that's not the only poll that is like this. There's another poll that is out from Fox News. Fox News historically has been a very pro-McAuliffe poll. The new poll shows Youngkin up 8 points on McAuliffe, 53 to 45. Youngkin leads among registered voters by 1 point and likely voters by 8. Youngkin is at plus 14 with parents, plus 11 on the economy, plus 8 on education, plus 12 on crime, and even plus 1 on COVID. Hey, we are only a few days out from the election. Now, this is not the first time that something like this has happened. Actually, Bob McDonnell, when he won election in Virginia, that had been right after a Democratic sweep. And then he won election in Virginia by like a wide margin. He shifted from a plus 6 Democratic state to like a plus 17 state for Bob McDonnell. So Virginia does have a habit of backlashing against radicalism. And that's what you are seeing right here. And Democrats have to be running a little bit scared because McAuliffe has run on the Biden agenda and by yelling Trump a lot. And it's not working. And the Biden agenda is really unpopular. Bringing in Joe Biden to try and save the day had apparently no impact. Americans are still concerned with the radicalism of critical race theory. They are still concerned with whether they get to control their kids' education. They're still concerned with inflation. They're concerned with all of the issues Democrats would prefer they not care about. And the Democratic solution for all these problems is to continue to throw money at it. Well, if Glenn Youngkin upsets Terry McAuliffe, who, remember, is a revered figure inside the Democratic Party. He's a former governor of Virginia. He's the former head of DNC. He's a Hillary Clinton acolyte. If Terry McAuliffe goes down to flaming defeat in Virginia, there are going to be a lot of Congress people, blue dog Democrats, if they still exist. Some of the senators are going to say, I don't really want to reap the whirlwind in order to push through a bill that is just loaded with pork for Joe Biden's friends. It does not seem like a good deal. Okay, so this is why Joe Biden is trying to push this through. He needs to ram this through. So yesterday, Joe Biden tried to ram this thing through, the infrastructure bill at the very least. So his basic idea was divide up the infrastructure bill and build back better. Why? Well, if he can get the infrastructure bill passed, then there will be no leverage for the Progressive Caucus on the Build Back Better plan because they'll either have to vote it up or vote it down, but they'll be voting it up or down in the absence of any piece of leverage. If they vote against the bill, then the bill just goes down to defeat. They don't get any win out of it. It just looks like spite. If, however, they hold up the infrastructure plan in order to get people to put more pork into the Build Back Better plan, then they have a little bit of leverage. So Joe Biden was really pushing yesterday for an infrastructure plan vote. He wanted that vote yesterday. He put out a framework for Build Back Better. He hoped that this would get the Congressional Progressive Caucus on board to vote for the infrastructure plan. And then he could separate off Build Back Better, and then he wouldn't have to worry about the progressives. He could just go ahead and push forward his moderate plan, get enough votes on the Democratic side of the aisle to do it, and the progressives would probably join in because it's better for them to vote up or down on Build Back Better and vote in favor than not to vote for it at all. Right? The leverage game is over if there's a vote on the infrastructure plan. So late last night, Joe Biden was pushing very hard for there to be a vote. Nancy Pelosi was pushing hard for there to be a vote. This is the second straight week Nancy Pelosi has said they wanted to vote on infrastructure. And this is the second straight week that it simply didn't happen. So if this extends, if this discussion extends all the way past the election next week, which is happening on November 2nd, if that election ends up going in Glenn Youngkin's favor, I think it's going to be very difficult for Democrats to pass anything that looks remotely like even what they're discussing right now, because none of the details have been worked out. Maybe they get an infrastructure plan, but it's hard to imagine that Manchin, who's in the state next door to Glenn Youngkin, and Sinema, who's going to be running a competitive race next time, she didn't win by very much last time, that both of them are going to be deeply interested in voting for Build Back Better. So remember that Sinema and Manchin are actually just shielding a couple of other Democrats in the Senate who are really in tight races right now. So Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire, for example, is not guaranteed a reelect in her race. Sununu might run in that race. If he runs, she's in real trouble. So if she votes for Build Back Better and votes for tax increases in a state that is a very low tax state, New Hampshire, it doesn't like taxes very much, she could easily lose that seat. That's another senator who is going to be on the firing line if Youngkin wins in Virginia. Mark Kelly is in Arizona. And he ran a very competitive race last time. But there's no reason why he wouldn't be highly vulnerable if this bill passes with his vote and it passes on a straight party line vote, 50-50. So what happens in Virginia matters an awful lot, which is why Joe Biden is trying to force this thing through fast. What's amazing is that he's trying to force this thing through in the face of overwhelming evidence that the American people are not interested. His approval ratings are down in the low 40s. And the harder he pushes his plan, the lower his approval ratings go. Plus, the U.S. economy in Q3 just died. It just laid down and died. It laid an egg. According to the Washington Post, the U.S. economy grew at a disappointing 2.0% annual rate in the third quarter as the Delta variant peaked, but promising signs suggest 2021 is on track to notch the fastest full-year growth in almost four decades. I love how the Washington Post has to try and salvage Joe Biden from himself. So right now, you should not be having quarterly growth of 2%. You should be having quarterly annualized growth of 7 or 8%. It is what was forecast all year long. Yes, there's going to be a fast growth year overall because we had the worst year in terms of GDP growth in modern American history last year because of the artificial shutdown of the entire economy thanks to COVID. But Joe Biden's policies have now crimped an economy that should have been racing ahead at full speed because he has pushed inflationary policy, because he has pushed bad tax policy, because he has made people unlikely to invest. And even if you are investing, you can't even get workers out there. He's paying people to stay home. Build Back Better does that too. And Joe Biden's answer, as always, is more cowbell. So they've got a real pickle on their hands. They are kind of stuck here. If they push Build Back Better and it passes, they might lose the Senate. And if they don't pass Build Back Better, then it looks like Joe Biden is incompetent and he can't get his party together. Now, both of those things can be true. But if either one of them is true, he's got a real problem come 2022. The notion that this $1.75 trillion budget plan is suddenly going to jog the economy is totally crazy. It's not going to jog the economy. It's simply going to be pushing more money into an economy that's already inflating. And Joe Biden is not making a convincing case for his own agenda. So yesterday, he was making the case for Build Back Better again. He's on the stump. And as I say, Joe Biden on the stump is basically just two tree stumps on top of each other. Because Joe Biden is himself a stump. So it's a stump atop another stump. So Joe Biden from the White House yesterday was trying to push forward his Build Back Better plan. He put forward a framework, okay, not the actual plan. So when people say they'll vote for it or vote against it, it doesn't mean anything until we actually have all of the details. But he put together a framework, and he basically said, I'm skipping town tomorrow, right, because today he's headed over to Europe to jabber with the Europeans about global warming or some such, and hang out with the Pope in a non-televised event. And Joe Biden, he says, I'm going to dump this framework out there, and then I'm going to pretend like we've achieved some sort of grand progress here. Here he was yesterday trying to push Build Back Better, and of course, he is not an inspiring figure, folks.
This framework includes historic investments in our nation and in our people. Any single element of this framework would be viewed as a fundamental change in America. Taken together, they're truly consequential.
Okay, inspiring stuff. The words of a charismatic leader there from Joe Biden. I'm sure he's going to start convincing people. Maybe if he yells at us. Maybe he just randomly yells in the middle of sentences. That'll do it.
We used to lead the world in educational achievement. Now the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development ranks America 35th out of the 37 major countries when it comes to investing in early childhood education and care. We know how our children start impacts significantly on how they'll finish.
He's very angry at you. I don't know why he's angry at you. You didn't do it. Also, Head Start, as we will discuss in a little bit, which is kind of a big part of this program, they're basically trying to universalize Head Start. Head Start's a giant fail. It's a giant waste of money. Okay, and then you might think, okay, well, you have some questions for this guy, because after all, he's willing to stand there and take blow after blow on behalf of his plans. Nope. He's going to run away. He's brave Sir Robin, running away. Here we go, as always.
Thank you.
Catch you later. Bye-bye. And there's Joe stumbling out of the room on his way to Europe. What an inspiring figure. Amazing stuff. Okay, so, again, Joe Biden's plan as of yesterday was, let's get the infrastructure vote done. So he throws out the framework, hoping that the congressional progressives will endorse the framework and feel so comfortable that they then vote on the infrastructure plan, which takes away all their leverage on the framework. Well, wrong he was. According to Politico, the House voted Thursday night to temporarily reauthorize transportation funding, abruptly reversing course after Democratic leaders earlier vowed to pass a bipartisan Senate-approved infrastructure bill. The move came after progressives refused to relent in their opposition to the $550 billion infrastructure bill amid a standoff over Democrats' separate party line $1.75 trillion social spending measure. It followed a visit to Capitol Hill by President Biden, who personally asked House Democrats for their support on both of them. Nope. Nope. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her leadership team were ultimately unable to win over dozens of dug-in liberals in time for a Thursday evening vote. Instead, they're now breaking for the weekend. House liberals said they want to review the legislative text of the $1.75 trillion social spending legislation the White House outlined on Thursday. It's like 1,600 pages of garbage. And get a commitment of support from centrist senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, something the two have not given outright at this point. And again, Sinema and Manchin, when I say that they are really on razor's edge here, if Youngkin wins in Virginia, they have got to be looking at their political futures and saying, if I vote for this thing, what exactly do I get? Despite an aggressive whipping campaign from Democratic leaders, as many as 30 liberal Democrats threatened to block the roughly $550 billion Senate-passed infrastructure bill, according to multiple people familiar with the vote tallying operation. As House Democrats headed home for the weekend in defeat, many were infuriated and left wondering how they had stumbled yet again, pointing fingers within their own party. Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Representative Pramila Jayapal, she said, I tried to tell anybody who had listened that we didn't have the votes. She then added, we want assurances that Build Back Better is going to pass in the Senate before we commit to actually passing the infrastructure vote. Here's Representative Pramila Jayapal, who on the left is running things for the Democratic Party.
We need to see both votes on the Build Back Better Act and the infrastructure bill moving forward together. We also want to see the commitment from the two senators and frankly all 50 senators that they are also supportive of this framework and that it will be passed with no undermining in the Senate.
Okay, so again, the progressives are not going to give up their leverage. They've dug their teeth in, and Biden and Pelosi really can't do much about that at all, other than trying to get the progressives on board for actual Build Back Better. Again, the more time that passes, the worse this gets for the Democrats. Remember, we are now at the end of October. By next week, we'll be into November. At the beginning of December, the Democrats face the debt ceiling again. So if they don't actually have a deal by the time they hit December, Republicans are not extending that debt ceiling again. It's going to have to be done solely with the reconciliation process via solely Democratic votes. So Democrats are in trouble here. And even if they pass this, they are in trouble. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance for your family. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started, super simple. First, head over to policygenius.com/Shapiro in minutes. You can work out just how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the progressives are holding up the works. We'll explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the progressives are holding up the works because they want more from the Build Back Better plan. Here's Bernie Sanders making that statement yesterday. It is amazing how the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party now has real influence.
From day one, that both of these bills are linked. I support the infrastructure bill, but I want to see a strong Build Back Better bill as well, and they're linked together. So what you don't want to see is the infrastructure bill passed and then not have the kind of Build Back Better bill that we need, and that's why you need 50 members on board before there should be a vote, in my view, in the House.
Now, Politico is trying to spin this as a win for Biden somehow. What they're trying to spin as a win for Biden is the fact that Pramila Jayapal and the CPC put out a statement on the status of the Build Back Better negotiations, in which they said that they overwhelmingly voted to endorse in principle the entire Build Back Better Act framework announced by Biden today. They say, we appreciate the president's leadership and his commitment to getting this process over the finish line. He reaffirmed, as our caucus has month after month, that both the infrastructure bill and the popular Build Back Better Act must move together because they are part of the same agenda. Today, we are reiterating our enthusiastic commitment to delivering that entire agenda to people across America. The reality is that while talks around the infrastructure bill lasted months in the Senate, there has only been serious discussion around the specifics of the larger Build Back Better Act in recent weeks, thanks to the Progressive Caucus holding the line and putting both parts of the agenda back on the table. Now, Congress needs to finish the job and bring both bills to a vote together. This can't be accomplished without legislative text that can be fully assessed and agreed upon by all the parties. So Politico is trying to play this as a win for Biden because the CPC said that they agree with the framework, but agreeing with the framework don't mean squat. If they really agreed with the framework, they would have voted on the infrastructure plan yesterday, which they didn't. And Nancy Pelosi is super pissed about it. According to Politico earlier in the day, until they called the vote off Thursday evening, Pelosi and other top Democrats had been firm in their calls to vote. Projecting confidence, Pelosi teed up a House Rules Committee meeting on a bill text that will make up the base of the social spending bill. Cabinet members, outside advocates also pushed liberals to back the infrastructure bill before Biden landed in Rome. Pelosi said, quote,
let's do it in timely fashion. Let's not just keep having postponements and leaving doubt as to when this would happen.
Well, nope. So the progressives were like, guess what, Nancy, we don't work for you. She cannot control her caucus. Here's Cori Bush, the adjunct member of the squad from Missouri, saying, I'm not going to vote for Build Back Better.
There are home care workers that came to me in my district that cried because they were talking about nobody fights for us. Congresswoman, you are our congresswoman. Will you fight for us? I remember those faces right now. I will not turn my back on those home care workers. I won't turn my back on teachers and principals. I won't turn my back on anyone else in our community. We can't just look at one sect of our community. We have to look at the whole of it, and they deserve this. So, Cori Bush, I stand with my people, all of them.
So, meanwhile, Representative Ilhan Omar, she's doing the same thing. She says both bills or none on infrastructure.
We need to keep the promise that was made. We've been very clear. We need to see the two bills simultaneously moved together.
Yep.
If there is urgency in getting this done, the senators need to understand that urgency as well and move as urgent as they want us to move so that we can get the two legislation.
Okay, so according to Punchbowl, which is another D.C. insidery publication, quote, there's no denying Thursday's episode was an embarrassing setback for Democrats, Biden included. Biden was supposed to help Pelosi bridge an ugly split between moderates and progressives. That didn't happen. In fact, it may be even worse. Strangely, when Biden met with House Democrats on Thursday, he didn't ask them to vote for the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which Pelosi was trying to get to the floor. Instead, the president urged rank and file lawmakers to back both the infrastructure bill and the framework for the Build Back Better Act, which the White House unveiled early that morning. Pelosi had to jump up and say they should vote for the infrastructure bill first. Progressive noticed Biden's omission. They later argued that Biden had given them the green light to say no on infrastructure. So Joe Biden came in like the senile, doddering fool that he is, and he completely undercut Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi's like, we want to give you the infrastructure win, and then they won't have any leverage on Build Back Better, and we can do exactly what you want, Mr. President. And Biden came in, and he's like, well, yeah, you should vote for him. Well, we made a promise. We're going to vote for both of them together. And the progressive's like, see, he's on our side. And Pelosi's like, I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know. According to Punchbowl, this wasn't just an oversight by Biden. The White House then adopted a deliberate hands-off approach to yesterday's scheduled vote, according to Democratic lawmakers. And then, apparently, there was a call between the White House Legislative Director of Legislative Affairs, Louisa Terrell, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese, several senior White House officials, and key Democratic lawmakers. Apparently, Terrell was repeatedly asked to spell out their position on infrastructure. Representative Suzanne Delbene from Washington, chair of the new Democrat coalition, asked straight out whether Biden wanted House Democrats to vote for the infrastructure bill. The White House officials then said they support both bills, which, again, undercut Pelosi. We would have had a victory today if only he had asked for it, one Democratic aide said of Biden. So, complete debacle. Politico tried to play it as a win. Punchbowl's actually being a lot more honest. But it just once again demonstrates that this administration does not know what the hell it is doing. And they have no leverage over the progressive members of their coalition. I think that when it comes right down to it, I'm not sure that Biden even wants to pass the damn thing. I think Biden says he wants to pass the thing, and then he wants to run in 2024 on Republican obstructionism. The problem is he's got a Democratic caucus. It makes it so difficult for him. In some ways, the worst thing that has happened to Biden is the fact that Republicans blew both of those Georgia Senate races, because now there's been an actual ask made of Democrats. If Mitch McConnell were running the Senate, we all know this would be DOA. But because it's Manchin and Sinema, it's put Biden in a box of his own making, because he is not pursuing anything remotely like a moderate policy. And they're making clear, Biden is, that so much of this is performative. The way that he is marketing Build Back Better is not as a moderate attempt to shore up holes in the social safety net. He's pushing it as a transformative plan that is going to radically redefine how economics is done in the United States. And so maybe his goal is that nothing passes, because then he can say that he was trying to be transformative and everybody else failed him. Because just like Barack Obama, the president can never fail. You can only fail the president. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is pitching this entire shtick as a really transformative moment for America. It may be, but not in the way Americans are interested in. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta Spring Water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta Spring Water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out. And I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
3 Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is pitching unending spending, forever stagnation, in the midst of what is looking to be maybe an economic downturn. Right now, we should be booming. Now, it is amazing how the media are reporting that last quarter's economic downturn was largely due to Delta, not to the policies of the Biden administration and blue state governors. We know that's not true because here in Florida, where we have a red state governor and we are not paying attention to anything that Joe Biden has to say, the economy is booming. Once again, I repeat, it is the single most important economic statistic because if the states are laboratories of democracy, then their policies ought to show some differences. If you look at the unemployment rate by state in the United States right now, I'm looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics for September. Okay, here are the best states in terms of employment. Here's the list. Again, I'll do it again. Okay, Utah. Okay, Nebraska's number one, red. Utah, red. Idaho, red. New Hampshire, purple. South Dakota, red. Vermont, purple. Well, Vermont's kind of blue. Oklahoma, red. Alabama, red. Georgia, red. Montana, red. North Dakota, red. Minnesota, blue. Missouri, red. Virginia, now turning purple. Kansas, red. Wisconsin, purple. Arkansas, red. Indiana, red. Iowa, red. South Carolina, North Carolina, red, red. Kentucky, red. Tennessee, red. Wyoming, red. Okay? Are you noticing a pattern here? These are all the best states in terms of unemployment. Now, let's go to the bottom of the list. Okay, here are the worst states in terms of unemployment right now. Nevada, blue. California, blue. New York, blue. New Jersey, blue. New Mexico, blue. Illinois, blue. Connecticut, blue. Hawaii, blue. D.C., blue. Okay, you noticing a pattern at all here? Okay, so if this is supposedly just about Delta, why this heavy striation thanks to obvious political consideration? Especially because Delta, this wave, hit the red states. Okay, so if the idea is that Delta is what hurt the economy, you would expect a massive jump in unemployment in southern red states. Most of the states that have high unemployment rates are not southern and had no Delta spike. And a lot of the states that I read to you at the very beginning are southern and had serious Delta spikes. Right? In that list of states that I was reading to you was the state of Tennessee, major Delta spike. Was the state of Georgia, serious Delta spike. So what exactly is the deal, guys? It looks more like this has less to do with Delta than it has to do with political policy. The Democrats have to keep claiming, and the media have to repeat it, that the real economic downturn is not Democratic policy when we all know that it is. And they have to keep claiming that so we will pretend that Joe Biden's massive spending plan isn't going to be just as damaging as the rest of his garbage agenda. So what exactly is in this budget framework? According to the Wall Street Journal editorial board, the blueprint the White House released is more frame than work. The jury-rigged plan is an enormous expansion of government with quarter-baked entitlement programs that will retard work and $1.58 trillion in tax increases that will distort and limit investment. The $1.75 trillion cost the Democrats have assigned is a lie. They use phony accounting to finance a few years of new spending with 10 years of tax increases. For example, the plan extends the $3,600 child tax credit for 1 year at a cost of $110 billion, but Democrats are going to extend it next year. If it's extended for 10 years, that would be $1.1 trillion, not $110 billion. So literally they are saying that the cost of a program they are extending is $110 billion. The actual cost over 10 years, if it were extended as they hope to do, is $1.1 trillion. So it's a false sunset. The agreement drops the House's proposed Medicare vision and dental expansion, but preserves a new hearing benefit, which the White House claims will cost a mere $34 billion and start in 2024. The annual cost of the hearing benefit, once fully phased in, is $16 billion. Congress will make it permanent. True cost, $160 billion. And this sort of stuff is true throughout the bill. The real cost is likely closer to $4 trillion than $1.75 trillion. Meanwhile, the plan is to ratchet up taxes in a wide variety of ways. They're trying to claim $400 billion in revenues from $80 billion in, quote, IRS investments, a 66% budget increase for the IRS, including hiring more auditors. Does this sound like fun to you? You really want more auditors looking down your neck? Is that really what, like, breathing on your neck? That's what you want. More IRS? Who in the United States was like, you know what we need more of? IRS auditors. Huge. We need more people at the IRS. Americans hate the IRS, and for good reason. By the way, it's a lie that this is going to claim $400 billion in revenue. The CBO says this is only going to yield $200 billion in revenue. And because we're spending $80 billion on the IRS to build them new toilets, It's actually only going to net about $120 billion to the federal government. Also, the $1.85 trillion in tax increases includes a 15% minimum tax on book income of large corporations. But we all know what's going to happen here. Democrats are then going to create carve-outs for all their friends. Corporations are going to be taxed on stock buybacks. So corporations will just shift the way that they pay people from stock buybacks to share dividends. Despite its anti-corporate advertising, the bill is a giant boondoggle for, it's basically Solyndra. They're dedicating $555 billion for climate spending, investing in renewables, nuclear, hydrogen, carbon capture, electric vehicles, batteries, and transmission lines. That's on top of the tens of billions in green energy handouts in the Senate infrastructure bill. Hey, that's, how much of that is going to be efficient spending? The answer is very little. The truth is that the government invests in a lot of projects. You never see the benefits of the vast majority of them. And very often it's corrupt. We know this because one Barack Obama tried to do the exact same thing. You remember those green jobs that were supposed to materialize? And it turns out it was all just a lie. Also, we are going to see massive tax increases. A 5% surtax on income over $10 million bucks, 8% over $25 million. Those surtaxes raise the top marginal personal income tax rate to 45% or so. And in New York and California, where you have state tax on top of that, the people at the top of the tax brackets are going to be paying 60% in New York and California. How many billionaires do you think are going to stick around in New York and California for that? See, it doesn't make a difference to them if the marginal tax increase between, like, New York and Florida is not all that great. But if you're talking about the difference between paying, say, a 45% tax rate and a 60% tax rate, get ready, red states, for a lot of income, because everybody's going to be moving on down to Texas and Florida, which is the reason that Nancy Pelosi and company wanted to restore the SALT deduction. Right? They wanted to make sure that you paid your state income tax first so that they could essentially give a subsidy to the blue states. So the bill is a full-scale disaster, and it's filled, again, with this notion that there's a great urgency to do all of this. And I'm sorry, but there isn't a great urgency to do all of this, particularly the $500 billion on climate change nonsense. I mean, that's the single biggest part of the bill, is $555 billion to fight climate change, largely through tax incentives for low-emission sources of energy. Okay, well, here is the thing. Those tax incentives for low-emission sources of energy are not going to marginally, they're really not going to in any real way lower the carbon emissions. Hey, people putting solar on their house is not going to make the rate of global warming decrease in any serious material way over the course of the next 100 years. What you need is actual innovation. And innovation is generally derived from making things marketable and not from simply throwing money at the problem. They're not even dedicating that $555 billion to the kind of infrastructure change that would be necessary to cope with rising climate. Now, you'll remember that this year, there's this big hurricane. It swept through the South. Remember, it was very similar to Hurricane Katrina. It didn't do nearly as much damage. Why? Because they'd shored up the infrastructure in New Orleans. We should be spending money on that kind of stuff. Like, why the Northeast got completely flooded? One of the reasons it got completely flooded is because the infrastructure there is not so good. But the progressives are like, we're not going to build that infrastructure. Instead, we are going to need $555 billion to pay the schmuck down the street to get a Tesla. Okay, but by the way, that is not a poor people thing. Teslas are very expensive. Subsidizing electric cars are not something that impoverished people in this country are deeply worried about right now. So this is one thing that the wild left is very enthusiastic about, and they have to try and scare you into believing that we need to spend this kind of money. So you have the irrepressible, irredeemable AOC, so fresh, so faceness and freshness abounding, saying that entire regions of the United States are going to be unlivable unless she can put her hand in your wallet, take out all of your money, and then hand it to a bunch of people who vote Democrat.
By 2028, crop yields are already projected to begin to fail, with famine beginning to hit the world's most vulnerable populations. By 2038, current U.S. drought, fire, and extreme heat trends could potentially make whole regions of the United States unlivable if we continue the trends that lobbyists are trying to have us pursue.
Who actually believes this? Really? First of all, there are already regions of the United States where people don't live. Okay, there are broad swaths of the West where people just don't live. Okay, and people will move. People will adapt, as they have literally throughout human history. Remember, there used to be an actual land bridge between Asia and the United States and North America. It doesn't exist anymore. There's a sea over it. Climate change has been a perennial of human existence. People have adapted to it. I guess, optimistic, because now she's extended her timeline for Doom to 2038. You'll recall that a couple of years ago, she said we had 12 years where the Earth was going to completely eat us. She's just going to open up like the book of numbers and just swallow us whole. Meanwhile, I have Ayanna Pressley saying this is a climate justice bill. This is not what the word justice means, guys. I mean, the word justice has a meaning. And when you just add some other word in front of it to mean a thing that I like, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Here's Ayanna Pressley pushing this.
One climate scientist said, quote, what we do in the next 10 years will matter for 10,000 years, unquote. I believe that what we do in the next 10 days on infrastructure investments will be the true predictor of our planet's future. The Build Back Better Act is a climate justice bill and a workers' justice bill. We can and we must act with urgency. Thank you, and I yield back.
Climate and workers' justice and everything justice. And it's so tiresome. It's so tiresome. It all is linked together with the progressive agenda to call everything white supremacy. So Cori Bush yesterday, she started berating oil executives by calling them white supremacists because they drill for oil or something. I don't even understand what she's talking about now.
For years, you all have continued to promote fossil fuels despite knowing that promoting them means promoting environmental racism and violence in black and brown communities. You all are still promoting and selling fossil fuels that are killing millions of people. This is a striking example of white supremacy. Your profit-driven choices threaten my life, the lives of my family, my neighbors, and our communities every single day.
I'm sorry, oil threatens black communities every single day? Truly? You know, it seems kind of like white supremacy to me, frankly. A bunch of upper crust white liberals in the main who are telling a bunch of countries, largely people of color, that they cannot have economic development because we are deeply concerned that over the course of the next 100 years, they might have to move their beach houses in the United States. That seems a lot more like white supremacy than people drilling for oil so that people can live in not abject poverty. Honestly, carbon-based fuels were one of the great discoveries of mankind. And thank God, we are now developing alternative sources of energy. People are buying Teslas. Like, it is good that people are buying Teslas. I'm very much in favor of it. I'm glad that we're doing fracking because natural gas is much more environmentally friendly than oil and coal. Right? Like, all of that's true. But the notion that oil executives are complicit in white supremacy, again, it is all just ball everything up in one ball. And we need to redo how the world works. Alrighty, coming up, Democrats are saying we need to spend more money than in any time in human history because the world is going to burn otherwise. That's not true. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Center.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The United States Marine Corps cordially invites you to celebrate the 246th birthday of our Corps, November 10th at noon at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Auditorium. Event will take 30 minutes and include the presentation of colors, national anthem, recognizing the oldest and youngest Marines, and more. Birthday cake will be served at the conclusion of the ceremony. That's November 10th at noon at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Auditorium. Semper Fi.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats always have to have a crisis in order to push forward massive change. Again, the Democrats are trying to force through the notion that this is everything that they are doing is required, because if not, the world will burn. And this is why they're focusing in on climate change. Everything is a crisis, because whenever you can declare a crisis, this means that you can take absolute control. So over the last year and a half, we had an actual crisis in the form of a global pandemic that's killed millions of people. But nobody, I mean, but nobody actually thinks that climate change over the course of the next century is a crisis. It may be a problem. It might be a serious problem that we need to deal with. No one thinks it's a crisis that requires us to dump out trillions of dollars from a piggy bank that does not exist into an economy that's already overheated. Nobody thinks that. But Democrats have to ratchet up the rhetoric. So you get a piece like this from the New York Times today. When the world is on the brink, $3.5 trillion is a pittance by Abram Lustgarten, environmental reporter for ProPublica, wildlife organization. There will be no bargains with an overheating climate. The $3.5 trillion price tag that President Biden proposed for his climate-heavy Build Back Better Act might seem enormous, but over the long term, it will be a pittance. What we don't spend now will cost us much more later. The bills for natural disasters and droughts and power outages are already pouring in. Within a few decades, the total bill will be astronomical as energy debts surge, global migration swells, industrial upheaval follows. The scale of the threat demands a new way of thinking about spending. Past budgets can no longer guide how governments spend money in the future. Some economists and climate scientists have calculated climate change could cost the United States the equivalent of nearly 4% of its gross domestic product a year by 2100. 4% is likely a conservative estimate. That comes out to about $840 billion per year, 4% of the American GDP, if figured on last year's economy. Okay, well, let's say that that's true. 4% of the American GDP, that's $840 billion per year. I noticed that you guys are attempting to spend like a multiple of that. I noticed that. That we are going to have a $4 trillion budget, that we are going to have dumped out $1.9 trillion earlier this year, that we spent $7 trillion last year. I've noticed that, and so your notion is we should spend much more money than it's going to cost us? All of this neglects the fact that there is going to be future economic growth. And if you crimp the plan, right, if you crimp economic growth with regulation and taxation, then what you end up doing is lowering the growth curve. So if you say 4% of annual GDP, you have to estimate how much that annual GDP is going to be. If the original curve is going to be high and now you've lowered the curve, okay, that curve lowering itself is a major cost. This is something that Bjorn Lomborg is constantly pointing out over at the Wall Street Journal. He says, adaptation doesn't make the cost of global warming go away entirely, but it does reduce it dramatically. Higher temperatures will shrink harvests if farmers keep growing the same crop, but they're likely to adapt. Corn production in North America has shifted away from the southeast and toward the upper Midwest. When sea levels rise, governments build defenses like levees, flood walls, and drainage systems that protected New Orleans from much of Hurricane Ida's ferocity this year. Nonetheless, many in the media push unrealistic projections of climate catastrophes while ignoring adaptation. This is correct, of course. You can see how far from reality these sorts of projections are in one heavily cited study, depicted in a graph. If you assume no society will adapt to any sea level rise between now and 2100, you'll find that vast areas of the world will be routinely flooded, causing $55 trillion in damage annually in 2100, or about 5% of global GDP. But, as the study emphasizes, in reality, societies are likely to adapt. By raising the height of dikes, the study shows humanity can negate almost all of that. Only 15,000 people would be flooded every year. which is a remarkable improvement compared with the 3.4 million people flooded in 2000. The total cost of damage, investments in new dikes, and maintenance costs of existing dikes will fall sixfold between now and 2100 to 0.008% of world GDP. So in other words, you can do something about climate change, but it does not require this garbage. So what is this really about? What this is really about is making people dependent on the government. So the White House put forward another one of these absurd, I mean, it's just absurd, slideshows. Now, you remember back in 2012, Barack Obama was pushing very hard on spending on social policy, and he put out something called The Life of Julia. And The Life of Julia was roundly mocked because it showed Julia as this woman who was utterly dependent on government her entire life. And it was openly mocked. It was mocked on late night TV. It was mocked by everybody on the right. Most people in the center thought it was stupid. Now the Biden administration is bringing it back. Like, I don't know who there was like, Life of Julia was great. Now we need a sequel, Life of Linda. So this is what they did. They put together something called Life of Linda. And I got to tell you, Linda leads a pretty sad life. Linda's life, according to this, is really pathetic. Number one, Linda is pregnant, and there's no father anywhere in the picture. Always and forever. The government is dad. The government is dad. This is the goal, right? Welfare policy, it's a substitute for father. And so here is the life of Linda as presented by the Biden White House, right? You're supposed to be optimistic about this and excited about this. This is what you can hope for from life. Linda is a working mother in Peoria, Illinois. She works at a local manufacturing facility as a production worker and earns $40,000 per year. She is pregnant with her son, Leo. Okay, so this is, I love how they have to just violate all, stop the gender stereotyping. She's a production worker with a hard hat and she's not a teacher or something, right? Okay, so we'll start with that. There are women in manufacturing. I'm just saying that heavy manufacturing is stereotypically a male industry, and they know that, which is why they did this. Once Leo is born, father nowhere in the picture, by the way, Linda begins receiving child tax credits of $300 per month, $3,600 annually to help cover essential costs like groceries, rent, and medicine. I have a question. How much is that going to help if the inflation outpaces the child tax credit? Also, if she does not have to work in order to receive the child tax credit, how is that going to impact the hours that she takes on at the manufacturing facility? Is she just going to stay out of the workforce, considering there are a bevy of other benefits available to Linda? But don't worry, the government will step in regardless. As Leo grows up, says the White House, the government helps cover the cost for his daycare, guaranteeing that Linda doesn't need to pay more than 7% of her income on child care. Well, that's exciting. So we are going to also make sure that Leo can grow up in a government facility. Right? Because, again, Linda's not married. So there are no options for Linda to stay home with the kid. So that's great. When Leo turns 3, he attends a high-quality pre-K program for free. I have my doubts. I have my doubts. We were told that the public schools were going to be a high-quality program for free. Nope! America's public schools are a giant fail. The only public schools that are good are the ones that are locally driven by excellent parents. That's the big defining factor. Pre-K, universal pre-K, has been a giant fail. The Head Start program, which this is modeled on, has poor outcomes. And they're pretty clear about this being modeled on Head Start. The Head Start program, according to the Heritage Foundation, was launched in 1965, enrolling 560,000 kids in the new federally funded 8-week summer program. At the time, proponents were clear that Head Start's sole purpose was to prepare children for elementary school. Unfortunately, more than half a century later, it sucks. The Department of Health and Human Services, which administers Head Start, revealed in December 2012 that the nearly $8 billion Head Start program has little to no impact on the cognitive, social, emotional, or health outcomes of participants, or the parenting skills of the parents. In fact, participation in Head Start actually had some negative effects on enrolled children. Federal researchers reported worse peer relations and lower teacher-assessed math ability for Head Start kids. So more cowbell. Always more cowbell. Also, the Government Accountability Office found several Head Start centers around the country actively counseling families to underreport their incomes in order to appear eligible for the services. So they were facilitating fraud. Among the 175 Head Start centers inspected by the Inspector General, none fully complied with federal Head Start or state requirements to protect children from unsafe materials and equipment. 21 of 24 grantees did not fully comply with federal Head Start or state requirements to conduct criminal records checks, conduct recurring background checks, document criminal records checks, conduct checks of child care exclusion lists, or conduct checks of child abuse and neglect registries. And we keep spending money on it. So they're like, what if we do that? Okay, so back to the White House plan here. So you've got the little kid going through the full-scale government program all the way through. And it doesn't end there. There's more benefits. Cradle to grave. They're not hiding the ball. It's all cradle to grave stuff from this administration, of course, because this is the goal. The end goal is to reorient how Americans interact with the government. This is Joe Biden's plan. Is anybody up for this? You wonder why Glenn Youngkin is winning in Virginia might have something to do with this. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden acknowledges that a U.S.-led submarine deal that left France empty-handed could have been handled a little better.
When the U.S., U.K., and Australia announced a new security pact this fall, France lost its submarine deal and it sparked a diplomatic blow-up. During a meeting in Rome, President Biden told French President Macron that America was clumsy in how it handled that arrangement. At a photo op, the president made clear that the U.S. views France as an incredible, valued partner.
That is White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting. A Chinese company that sold millions of faulty dehumidifiers to U.S. customers agreeing to pay $91 million for failing to tell regulators the devices could overheat and catch fire. Indeed, the device is blamed for more than 450 fires. Also at townhall.com, former Vice President Mike Pence discussing parents' rights and school choice, issues that have risen to the forefront ahead of next week's statewide elections in Virginia. Bernie Bennett has the story.
Mr. Pence praised pushback from parents and conservatives against local school boards, calling it a movement and a moment in the life of our nation when we can choose educational freedom. The comments come as Republicans zero in on the issues of parents' rights in K-12 education. Loudoun County has become the epicenter of conservative protests at school board meetings on issues such as critical race theory and transgender policies. Concerns have also been voiced over explicit content and learning material. A Suffolk University poll released this week showed 50% of Virginia voters say they believe parents should have more of an influence than school boards on students' curriculum. Bernie Bennett reporting.
One of the four remaining pharmacy companies on trial for their alleged roles in fostering an opioid crisis in Ohio says it has now settled a lawsuit in 10 entities in the state. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
An anti-Donald Trump group says it was behind a smear campaign against Virginia GOP gubernatorial candidate Glenn Youngkin.
The Lincoln Project is taking credit for a group of five people holding tiki torches who showed up at a Charlottesville campaign stop by Youngkin. The appearance was meant to associate Youngkin with torch-bearing white supremacists who descended on the city during 2 days of violence in 2017. Charlottesville TV station WVIR reported that while Youngkin was inside a restaurant, the group of five people appeared next to Youngkin's campaign bus. After Democrats denied having anything to do with the group, the Lincoln Project said it was behind what it called a demonstration. Keith Peters reporting.
New York Attorney General Letitia James announcing she is running for governor. James' office investigated allegations that former Governor Andrew Cuomo had sexually harassed numerous women. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. In Alabama, a judge ordering striking minors to stop the picketing. John Scott explains.
Circuit Judge James Roberts issued a restraining order prohibiting the union members from picketing within 300 yards of Warrior Met coal mines and offices in Tuscaloosa. The company says the level of violence along picket lines had reached a dangerous level over the last week. United Mine Workers of America International President Cecil Roberts called the restraining order unconstitutional and said it will not break the strike. Miners have been on strike since April. John Scott reporting.
Record-setting day on Wall Street. Dow Industrials closing up 89 points, closing the week at 35,819. NASDAQ gained 50 for the day at 15,498. And the S&P 500 added 9 points for the day at 4,605. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, the Biden administration has a very bizarre vision of what the American dream looks like. That bizarre vision was encapsulated in something that the White House has called the Life of Linda, a presentation on the White House website that shows you how much better your life will be because of Joe Biden's giant Build Back Better plan. And the Life of Linda includes everything from Linda receiving child tax credits to Linda's son Leo being in government-funded health, being in government-funded Head Start. And it's not inspiring. Back to Leo's story. So here's what we know about Leo. Born to a single mom, because daddy is nowhere in the picture. He's been in government schooling since he was three. When Leo leaves high school, he's able to enroll in a community college, thanks to extended Pell Grants and investments in community college. So apparently Leo is not one of the bright eggs. So he goes to the community college and requires a Pell Grant in order to do so. And then this is my favorite part of the whole presentation. Thanks to community college, Leo lands a good-paying union job as a wind turbine technician. Oh, will he? Is that going to be a rich industry? Wind turbine technician. Honest to God, I don't know. How many wind turbine technicians are there? How many people work in the wind industry in the United States? Apparently, there are currently 85,000 Americans currently employed in the wind power industry and related fields. 85,000. There are 330 million people, but apparently we're all going to be working at wind farms. That's what we're going to be doing. And a union job, right? It's going to be a union job. It's going to be an expensive boondoggle. So he's going to be working for the government effectively, because if you're working on a wind turbine farm, there's a very good shot that is a government subsidized job. Leo's job is one of 4 million new jobs a year supported by President Biden's economic plan, right? So that, there it is. So Joe Biden is going to quote unquote create jobs by subsidizing giveaway goodies to union buddies, and Leo's going to work for one of those people. Later in life, Linda needs home care and hearing care. Thanks to President Biden's plan, Linda can access affordable hearing care through Medicare, and Leo is able to afford at-home elder care for his mom. Okay, so that's, again, very exciting stuff. So the government is going to pay for Linda to get hearing care, because apparently no elderly people in the United States have hearing care. That's a new one to me, because my grandmother does. Actually, both grandmothers do, outside of Medicare. And also, apparently, Leo was going to leave mom to rot, but now that he's got this subsidy to a union home healthcare worker, he's going to pay for all that. So again, this is the ideal life, according to the Democrats. At no point is there any upward trajectory or upward mobility. You basically just stagnate in your lower middle class life, working as a wind turbine technician on a government subsidy, going to community college. Like, what an enriching and wonderful life that sounds like. Isn't that great? What an enriching, wonderful, exciting life for the life of Linda. Again, these are very humble. I would say these are pretty humble aspirations for both Leo and Linda. They also don't have the slide where Leo, having been brought up in a government facility all of his life, goes out in the streets and starts burning down government buildings because he's very upset that the United States is systemically racist and unjust. That part they didn't tell you about because that part's a little awkward. But right, it was right before he went to community college and also before he got the wind turbine job, Leo. Gotta love the fictional stories. In the original American vision, the American dream was, Linda works hard. She works a job, and she works difficult and long hours, but she also takes care of her kid, and she's married, so her husband is around to help. And they, together, invest enormous time and effort in their son, Leo. Leo goes on to create a new good product or service, and he then proceeds to start a business where he hires lots of other people. He becomes inordinately wealthy, having made the country that much better off through his own innovative skill and risk-taking. Right? That used to be the American dream. If you were to tell the Horatio Alger story of the American dream, that was the American dream. And that's true for so many Americans, because the fact is the vast majority of people who start at the bottom of the American income spectrum do not end up at the bottom of the American income spectrum. People tend to rise over the course of their life. This is why older people are richer than younger people in the United States. Okay, but that's not the story the Democrats wish to tell. They wish to tell you the story about a lower middle income person, who stays a lower middle income person and lives their life completely dependent on government largesse. If that sounds like an inspiring life story to you, I don't know what to tell you. You should be hoping for more. You should be aspiring for more. It is just amazing to me that this is what the Biden administration seems to want to push. This is the life that they seem to want you to have. So wonderful. Alrighty, coming up, the Biden administration is preparing to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to illegal immigrant families. I'll explain in just one moment. First, your online privacy is very, very important. That's why I use ExpressVPN, and you should too. See, here's the thing. You keep all your data, all your most important stuff online. Imagine, in your house, you have a safe. That safe presumably holds your jewelry, your watches, your wife's jewelry, maybe your gun. Right? You got all your valuables in there. Would you just leave it like wide open every time somebody is coming to work on the house? Well, that's exactly what you do when you go online without anything protecting you, because your ISP can view all of your information. Like, they know every single website you visit. Hackers, if you're on a public Wi-Fi, can grab access to your information. ExpressVPN, however, creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity can't be seen by anyone. It works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi is protected. All you have to do is just fire up the ExpressVPN app, click one button, it's actually incredibly easy, get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free by going to expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 extra months for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/Ben. Meanwhile, as they impoverish you, and as they tell you that we are going to have to lower our economic estimates because of climate justice and environmental justice and white supremacy and all the rest of the silly progressive buzzwords, as they tell you that the best you can hope for is to one day work at a wind turbine factory with a government unionized job, as they do that, they are given lottery tickets to illegal immigrant families. That's exciting stuff. According to the Wall Street Journal, the United States is currently in talks to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to families separated at the border. Hey, again, this is kind of incredible. And so Americans are experiencing wild, out-of-control inflation. There are 10 million open jobs and people aren't getting back in the workforce. We have supply chain bottlenecks. Joe Biden is pledging to basically lower his economic growth estimates to below 2% a year for the rest of time. But we have enough money in the bank to be paying, I kid you not, $450,000 per person in compensation to immigrant families separated by the Trump administration. There are several agencies working to resolve lawsuits filed on behalf of parents and children who say the government subjected them to lasting psychological trauma. The U.S. Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, and Health and Human Services are considering payments that could amount to close to $1 million a family. Though the final numbers could shift, people familiar with the matter said, most of the families that crossed the border illegally from Mexico to seek asylum in the United States included one parent and one child, the person said. Many families would likely get smaller payments depending on their circumstances. The ACLU has identified about 5,500 kids separated at the border over the course of the Trump administration, citing figures provided to it by the government. The number of families eligible under the potential settlement is expected to be smaller. About 940 claims have so far been filed by the families. The potential payout could be $1 billion or more. So remember, there is a zero tolerance enforcement policy in which the United States would not just release illegal immigrants into the interior of the United States after giving them a piece of paper saying, come back in a month. The Trump administration said, we're not doing that. If you come, you will be held until you actually have your asylum date. until we find out whether you are here or whether you're here for good reason or whether you're just trying to cross the border illegally. Now, there was something called the Flores Settlement. The Flores Settlement said that kids could not be held with their parents in confinement. So instead, kids were separated from parents. Very often they were handed to a relative. Sometimes they'd be put in a holding facility for a little while. Right? But that was because of the Flores Settlement. It was defined by law. The two choices were release the entire family unit into the interior, or two, don't, and you have to separate the kids from the parents by law because of the stupid Flores Settlement. So that's what the Trump administration did. Now, if you were one of the illegal immigrants who came with your kid and your kid was separated from you, the government is going to sign you a $450,000 check per person. So for your kid and for you. So not only did you get to enter the United States illegally, you also get a giant check from the U.S. government signed by the taxpayer. Isn't that exciting stuff from the Biden administration? The lawsuits allege some of the children suffered from a range of ailments, including heat exhaustion and malnutrition, were kept in freezing cold rooms, and provided little medical attention. That is indeed terrible. You know what else is a really bad idea? Paying people for the separation of the family required by law when they cross the border. You want to incentivize illegal immigration? Don't just say, come on over here, and we got a bunch of free welfare benefits, and we're not going to kick you out. Say, if we happen to separate you because we have to by law, we will sign you a $1 million check. That's crazy towns. In recent months, lawyers for the families and government have told courts overseeing the cases they are engaged in settlement negotiations. Lee Gallant, deputy director of the ACLU, says, quote, President Biden has agreed that the family separation policy is a historic moral stain on our nation that must be fully remedied. That remedy must include not only meaningful monetary compensation, but a pathway to remain in the country. So again, remember that they are not only pushing for a giant check, they're also pushing for people to just get to stay here. In his first weeks in office, Biden pledged to reunite the separated families. By the way, not all the families have been reunited, even still. Senator Tom Cotton said the Biden administration's promises of citizenship and entitlement programs have already caused the worst border crisis in history. A huge cash reward will make it even worse. Some government lawyers view the payouts as excessive for people who had violated the law by crossing the border. One government lawyer threatened to remove his name from the case out of disagreement with the potential settlement offer. In another instance, a Department of Homeland Security attorney involved in the settlement talks complained on a conference call the payouts could amount to more than some families of 9/11 victims received. So, if that's the case, I mean, think about the insane moral logic of that. You cross the border illegally with your kid because you're attempting to get into the country illegally. You're separated. The government says, here's a $1 million check, and you get to stay in the country. Now, you're a family member of somebody who got vaporized on 9/11 by a terror attack on the World Trade Center. You get a lower check than the illegal immigrant who just crossed the border for pain and suffering. That's unbelievable. Trying to take the cases to trial would be unpredictable, with juries potentially awarding larger sums to the family, said legal experts. Damaged class actions in this kind of case are pretty rare. It's hard to think of a recent comparison, said Margot Schlanger, who ran the Civil Rights Office during the Obama administration. It's a complicated, complex piece of litigation to try to resolve hundreds of different lawsuits at the same time, sometimes even more complex to try the cases. Many of the families filed tort claims, a type of civil claim seeking damages for loss or harm. Some of the cases were resolved under the Trump administration. In a 2019 settlement in New Jersey, for example, an adult and a minor received a total of $125,000. Many of those cases were still pending at the start of the Biden administration. But again, the fact that this administration is now considering a widespread policy of just giving money to people for this sort of thing, like, pretty insane. Making illegal immigrant families rich, making American families poor, that is a hell of an agenda, and making everybody dependent. Illegal, non-illegal, everybody dependent on the federal government. You wonder why the economic boom is stalling out? You wonder why a feeling of enervation has settled across the American population when it comes to work? This would be the reason. You have an entire side of the political aisle in the United States that basically now says that work is unnecessary. You shouldn't aspire to anything. The government will take care of you cradle to grave. If you don't want to vote for that, then vote for Glenn Youngkin if you're in Virginia. And if you don't like it, don't vote for Democrats across the country in 2022. I still think that most Americans have aspirations to live more than the life of Linda. If that's the case, then Democrats have a real cruising coming to them. Then Democrats have a real bruising coming to them in 2022. Alrighty, coming up, the New York Times catches on to the fact that a lot of the bosses in industry are very afraid of their junior staffers. Cowardice abounds. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, let us say that you've made the unfortunate life error of having an affair with a married person. And it seems to be going well at first, but then it becomes clear this person is no longer interested in you. So So you do what all rational people would do. You go over to this person's house and you grab a rabbit and you put it in a pot of boiling water and you claim that you won't be ignored. Well, this story might end badly for you, right? As your former lover comes through the door with a gun, you might be thinking to yourself, man, I need Policy Genius. I really should have listened to Shapiro. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare quotes. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies. You can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. That exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor. Getting started? Super simple. Go to policygenius.com/Shapiro. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty. Coming up, the New York Times notices that many bosses are afraid of their young staffers because everybody is a coward. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The New York Times is finally noticing that everybody in corporate America is a coward. They have a piece called The 37-Year-Olds Are Afraid of the 23-Year-Olds Who Work For Them. 20-somethings rolling their eyes at the habits of their elders is a long-standing trend. But many employers said there's a new boldness in the way Gen Z dictates taste. Okay, so as a resident 37-year-old, that's actually my age, I'm 37 years old, and the company that I co-founded has about 200 employees at this time. Let me just say for the record, I'm not afraid of a single one of my 23-year-old employees because I literally sign their checks. So, no. And if I disagree with them, the answer is no, because they work for this company, and I do not work for them, because I'm not an idiot. But apparently, a lot of 37-year-olds are idiots, according to Emma Goldberg. As a millennial with a habit of lurking on TikTok, Jessica Fain understood that skinny jeans and side parts were on steady march toward extinction. But when Ms. Fain, who works as a product manager at a large tech company, heard that some of her favorite emojis might also be confronting retirement, namely that laughing, sobbing face, she decided to seek the counsel of her junior colleagues. I heard that using this emoji isn't cool anymore, Ms. Fain 34 said she wrote in a water cooler type Slack channel. Yeah, I only use that emoji at work for professionalism, she recalled a younger employee replying. Hate to break it to you, Jess. Ms. Fain is old enough to remember when millennials determined what was in vogue. Rompers, rose pink, craft beer, Netflix, and chill. Now she gets the foreboding sense from colleagues that her AARP card awaits. Subtly, yet undeniably, as generational shifts tend to go, there's a new crop of employees determining the norms and styles of the workplace. And they have no qualms about questioning not just emoji use, but all the antiquated ways of their slightly older managers, from their views on politics in the office to their very obsession with work. I feel very, very cool, very sure that I'm uncool, said Andy Dunn, 42, who co-founded the upscale apparel brand Bonobos, once the uniform for a subset of millennial men. I've come to accept that. It's a fault line that crisscrosses industries and issues. At a retail business based in New York, managers were distressed to encounter young employees who wanted paid time off when coping with anxiety or period cramps. At a supplement company, a Gen Z worker questioned why she would be expected to clock in for a standard 8 hours a day when she might get through her to-do list by the afternoon. At a biotech venture, entry-level staff members delegated tasks to the founder. And spanning sectors and startups, the youngest members of the workforce have demanded what they see as a long overdue shift away from corporate neutrality toward a more open expression of values, whether through executives displaying their pronouns on Slack or putting out statements in support of the protest for Black Lives Matter. Colin Ginn, 41, co-founder of the robotics company Hanger Technology, says these younger generations are cracking the code, and they're like, hey guys, turns out we don't have to do it like these old people tell us we have to do it. We can actually do whatever we want and be just as successful. And us old people are like, what is going on? So the answer here is that young people have always had really stupid ideas. Some of their ideas are good, but some of those ideas are really, really stupid. And older people, it was their job to determine which ones were stupid and which ones were good. Now we have a crop of pathetic 37-year-olds who are all like, well, if my 23-year-old colleague fresh out of woke college says so, it must be true. Maybe they're just being obnoxious and entitled. Maybe they're a bad employee. Did this ever occur to any of these bosses? Siad Ahmed, 22, founder and chief executive of the Gen Z marketing company JUV Consulting, which has lent its expertise to brands like JanSport, recalled speaking at a conference where a Gen Z woman, an entry-level employee, told him she didn't feel that her employer's marketing fully reflected her progressive values. What is your advice for our company? The young woman asked. Make you a vice president, Mr. Ahmed told her, rather than an intern. Or the advice for the company is shut the up, right? I mean, that's the actual advice for the company. Is to tell the 23-year-old intern, I don't care. You are not reflective of our market. If you are reflective of our market, then I should be researching the market, not you. Gen Z doesn't hesitate, says the New York Times. Starting in the mid-aughts, the movement of millennials from college into the workplace prompted a flurry of advice columns about hiring members of the headstrong generation. These young people tell you what time their yoga class is, warned a 60-minute segment in 2007. Over time, the millennials became managers. Workplaces were reshaped in their image. Millennials point out that for a generation of workers who entered the office during and after the 2008 financial crisis and felt lucky to land any type of work, it's unsurprising to see a premium placed on hustling. Gen Zers, meanwhile, are starting their careers at a new moment of crisis, in the midst of a pandemic that has upended the hours, places, and ways we're able to work. A fall 2021 survey of Gen Z job candidates from the recruitment software company Ripple Match found more than two-thirds wanted jobs that will indefinitely stay remote. Gabe Kennedy, 30, founder of the herbal supplement brand Plant People, noticed as he recruited Gen Z employees that some had no interest in the rigid work habits that felt natural to his mostly millennial 10-person team. He and his co-founder were accustomed to spending late nights in the office, obsessing over customer feedback, sharing Chinese takeout. His youngest employees preferred to set their own hours. Some of these stories are so unbelievably stupid. Meanwhile, in June 2020, as Black Lives Matter protests swelled across the country, the Slack channels of corporate America faced their own form of reckoning. one company head named Rodriguez, her co-founder at a place called Unbound, which sells vibrators, called to say that their social media manager, a younger employee, wanted to know what the company planned to do to support the protests. Rodriguez didn't usually receive calls on the weekend. She knew that for her employees, this signified a state of emergency. But she also wanted to plan the team's response. Within days, her company hired a diversity, equity, and inclusion firm to offer employee trainings and started a fundraiser for a group supporting sex workers of color. Yeah, the country's over, and Gen Z can be thanked for this. Coming up, we'll be joined by General Keith Kellogg, author of War by Other Means. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Dan Beans, Director of Redding Electric Utility. Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutters and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming in proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this...
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
Not... No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw through?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson. Or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams, or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop-off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is General Keith Kellogg. He's author of War by Other Means. He's also the director for the American Security Center and the former national security advisor to the Trump administration. General Kellogg, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Ben, thanks for having me. I do appreciate it.
So let's talk about the Trump administration's foreign policy, because one of the things that gets lost in the shuffle of the Trump years is that the strongest element of the Trump White House was indeed its foreign policy. The foreign policy of the Trump administration was successful in truly in amazingly historic ways, and yet all of the focus of the media, of course, was on President Trump's Twitter feed. As the national security advisor, you got a front row seat to many of the transformative things the Trump administration did, particularly from the Middle East, but also including policy toward China. Maybe we can start with the Middle East, and then we'll move toward policy toward China. So you inherited from an administration that had basically turned the Middle East into a flame center. It was just a place with massive war, the possibility of more war on the horizon. And when President Trump left the White House, the Middle East had budding peace between Jews and Arabs. A new sort of stability had set in, and Iran was isolated. So how did you guys go about doing that?
Yeah, thanks, Ben, and thanks for saying that. Yeah, look, and the reason I wrote the book actually was to kind of get into things like that, because there was a caricature of President Donald J. Trump with the mean tweets. I said, I kind of got that. Okay. It can be pretty hard, but our foreign policy achievements were really, really good. Everything from trade to immigration, defense budget, terrorism, and to including the Middle East. And the reason we went after the Middle East, and we actually culminated that with the signing of the Abraham Accords in the, on the South Lawn. Was that we decided to go a different route than has been done before. John Kerry made the comment earlier, Secretary of State for Obama, that, well, you've got to go through the Palestinians. We said, nope, you don't have to. You kind of go around them and you bring them into the fold with everybody else. And we looked at it that way approaching them economically, the UAE or Bahrain or the other states there, to bring them in working with Israel. And it worked pretty well. In fact, it worked so well that when we signed the Abraham Accords, I sat next to Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, at the lunch following it, and he said, right. He said, we had it all wrong. He said, we kept thinking we had to go to the Palestinians. You said, no, you don't. And you bring them in economically, the countries around Israel, and it works. But that also built on President Trump's idea that we had to be a strong friend of Israel. And we did that. One of the first things we did was when we moved the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. You know, that had been set in law years ago, and there had been, I think, 36 waivers, because each president could waive that 6 months at a time. But President Trump waived it one time, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. And when we moved the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, a lot of people said, well, you're going to have the third intifada breakout, and it never did. And then we just kept putting a lot of pressure all throughout the Middle East when we collapsed ISIS, the caliphate, killed Baghdadi, killed Soleimani. We really put our mark on the Middle East that we were a strong supporter of Israel. We were strongly supportive of democracies in the area. And we weren't going to tolerate people messing around with either America or the attempt at making progress and having peace in the Middle East.
We're seeing General Keith Kellogg. His book is War by Other Means. And he was, of course, the national security advisor to the Trump administration. So one area that seems to have driven some bipartisan consensus at this point, at least outside the Biden administration, apparently, is that China is not just a strategic competitor, but China is an actual opponent. And this is something the Trump administration understood very, very clearly. A lot of people in the Democratic halls of power understand this, too. Biden, for some odd reason, has decided to treat China as a quasi-threat as opposed to a real threat. He's issued some rather milquetoast statements about China while taking some policies that have been isolating toward China. What should the policy be toward China, and how did the Trump administration change the approach?
Let's go back to the Rose Garden when 2015, when President Xi of China came in and with Obama and sat in the Rose Garden and said, hey, we're not going to fortify any of the islands in the South China Sea. And within a year, they had fortified the Spratly Islands. And we said, oh, okay, that's all right. You know, it's amazing to me. And we looked at it as a, not just a competitor, but a growing adversary, not only in trade, the economic piece, but the political piece and the military piece as well. And people have to understand. And that, by the way, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get out of Afghanistan, because strategically, we could not focus in, the military couldn't focus in on either Russia or China, and they kept focusing on counterterrorism in the Middle East. We said, no, the real threat to us actually is the emergent threat that we're seeing in China. And we just said, we're going to have to approach that in a lot of different ways. One was economics, and the president kept saying, look, kept telling Americans in Congress, look, there's a $350 billion trade deficit with China. We're actually helping them grow their military and growing their economy. Plus, we have to be very strong in the defense relationships that we have in the region, especially with Taiwan, when we start to increase the flow of defensive weapons into Taiwan, either F-16s or Patriot missile batteries or defense systems that are out there, and actually contain them by keeping the island chain strong all the way from Japan down to Taiwan, down to the Philippines. And even though there's a policy, we've kept the policy of strategic ambiguity and the two-China policy, we drifted more and more towards, drift is probably a bad word, it was a very conscious decision, on supporting Taiwan and democratic countries in the region. And the Chinese saw that. And the Chinese pushed really back on us pretty hard. But we thought we had a pretty good, at least a conceptual framework of supporting our alliances in the region, to include most recently a deal that we actually started working much earlier, which is the submarine deal that we worked with the Australians, ensuring they had nuclear capability other than just diesel capability. So we saw that and worked it pretty hard, and we think we were making success with China. You know, here's what's interesting, Ben. You know, President Biden went to the UN General Assembly recently and spoke, gave his first speech up there, never even mentioned China once, not one time. And I think he's just whistling past the grave, which he seems to do with all of his foreign policy activities. I mean, he hopes Americans won't realize what's happening, I think. I mean, he ignores immigration, he ignored Afghanistan, he's ignoring China, he's ignoring everything that's out there and just hoping that we're going to be more focused on what we're having for breakfast tomorrow or who's playing football on Saturday or Sunday.
We'll get some more with General Keith Kellogg in just one moment. First, let's talk about your personal security situation. So I am very big on security, as you would imagine, and that means that I really do rely on my Ring Alarm security system. I'm much more at ease when I'm on the road or away from home. My Ring Alarm equals peace of mind. You can protect your home the same way that I do with Ring Alarm. Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. It works seamlessly with other Ring products in one simple app. For a special offer, go to ring.com/Ben. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. You can keep an eye on every corner of your house with indoor and outdoor cams. You can see what's happening directly from your phone. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build a system right for your home, have it up and running in minutes. That's ring.com/Ben. Again, ring.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. ring.com/Ben. The fact of the matter is that frequently, I kind of lose track of my kids. I have three of them. They're constantly running around like crazy people. When I lose one of them, the best thing to do, grab that Ring app on my phone, and now I know exactly where they are and what kind of trouble they are into. Head on over to ring.com/Ben for that special offer on the Ring Alarm security kit today. Now, General Kell, let's talk about Afghanistan for a moment, because you mentioned that the Trump administration had been attempting to facilitate an exit from Afghanistan. The deal that was signed with the Taliban essentially was conditional. It did require that the Taliban fulfill certain conditions. Certainly, there have been a lot of talk inside the Trump administration about how to facilitate removal without actually leaving the Afghan forces completely bereft of any sort of help. Biden decided to withdraw all close air support. He decided to withdraw all American contractors. He decided to do all of that, not in the winter season when the Al-Qaeda fighters and the Taliban fighters would be up in the hills, hold up because of the winter, but in the middle of the fighting season. So there are a bunch of mistakes that were made. How would the Trump administration have handled Afghanistan differently, consummate with the withdrawal plans that President Trump had drawn up?
Yeah, it was significantly different. We had a conditions-based agreement, and I think it's important for the listeners to understand that. When we signed the agreement on 29 February 2020 with the Taliban, it was clearly conditions-based. Certain things had to happen before we were going to withdraw our forces out there. To reinforce that, the President of the United States picked up the phone, Trump picked up the phone on the 3rd of March, just a few days after they signed the agreement, and talked to the chief Taliban negotiator, Mullah Baradar, who, by the way, we'd gotten out of a jail in Pakistan to make sure he was the chief negotiator, because he was one of the original Taliban members with the Mullah Omar. And President Trump told him in no uncertain terms what would happen if they didn't follow through on working the agreement. In fact, sitting in the Oval listening to the president, I kept thinking, God, how is this being translated? Because he was pretty straightforward with Baradar on what we would bring to the party if he failed in that, which was the full weight of the United States. Here's what's interesting, Ben, is from that agreement till 2021, 20 January, not a single American was killed in Afghanistan, not one. But the agreement was pretty simple. The very first part of the agreement, and people can pull it up on State Department website, it's public record. The first one was there had to be an intra-Afghan discussion between the Ghani and an agreement with the Ghani government and the Taliban to have what I would call a very comprehensive government of national reconciliation, which included the Uzbeks, the Tajiks, the Pashtun, all of them together, working together. And it was backed by U.S. forces. We were going to maintain 2,500 U.S. troops, 5,000 NATO allies. We're going to retain over 3,000 paramilitary supported by our CIA. We were going to maintain Bagram Air Base and maintain the air capability until the agreements were put in place and you had a peaceful transition government going forward. We knew it was risky. It was a perfect plan, no. But those were the conditions we set in place to make sure it happened out there. What happened is interesting. Just a week ago on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan, Zal Karulzad, the chief negotiator, said publicly the first time I've heard him say it, that, look, we walked away from a conditions-based agreement to a date-based agreement, which was 31 August, and with no conditions at all, and Biden never even picked up the phone and called the Taliban. So the Taliban just ran wild. They kind of said, okay, it's game over. We're going to go after it. That would have never happened because there was no intent for us to release the pressure on the Taliban until there was a signed agreement and an effective government in place, and only then would we finish and complete the withdrawal. And it's all public record, Ben. And so, I mean, it's just not me saying it or Donald Trump saying it or Mike Pence saying it or Mike Pompeo or John Ratcliffe or anybody else. It's out there for everybody to see. So it would not have happened. What you're seeing in Afghanistan, creation of a mega terrorist state, would not have happened at all.
As General Keith Kellogg, his book is War by Other Means. A general in the Trump White House, former national security advisor to the Trump administration. Go pick up the book today. General Kellogg, thanks so much for what you've done for the country, and look forward to all of our listeners checking out the book. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Coming up, one of the big problems in the country is the overprescription, over-reliance on anti-pain medication. We'll talk about why the United States has become such an addicted country with an expert on the topic in just one moment. First, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably heard me talk about my Helix sleep mattress, which allows me to sleep in the evening time. Let me tell you that Helix has now started a new company. It's called Allform, and they are already making the best sofas in the game. So what makes an Allform sofa really cool? For starters, it's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You can pick your fabric. It's spill, stain, scratch resistant. The sofa color, the color of the legs, sofa size, and shape. Make sure it is perfect for you and your home. They've got armchairs and love seats all the way up to an 8-seat sectional, so there's something for everybody. And you can always start small and buy more seats later on if you want your Allform sofa to grow and change with you when you move. Allform sofas are delivered directly to your door. In the past, if you wanted to order a sofa, you'd need to hire someone to come and assemble it in your home or break your back trying to put it together yourself. No more. It's super easy. I've got an Allform sofa. It's a 3-seat sofa with chaise in the sand color with espresso legs. It's awesome. It sits in my bedroom right now. Allform wants to do their part. They offer exclusive discounts for teachers, students, military, and first responders. If getting a sofa without trying it in store sounds a little risky, you don't need to worry. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it. More than 3 months, they've got a forever warranty. To find your perfect sofa, check out allform.com/Ben. And Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/Ben today. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be talking about whether pain medication in the United States is overprescribed. What are we doing wrong? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face-to-face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, you may have noticed in the United States that we have had all sorts of problems with addiction. We have opioid addiction. We have heroin addiction. We have all sorts of different addictions in the United States that are sort of plaguing the American people. We have technology addiction. And all of these are ways to essentially trigger dopamine release. Many of them are ways to attempt to lower pain. Joining us on the line to discuss all this is Dr. Anna Lemke. She's a medical director of medicine. Of addiction medicine at Stanford University. She has a brand new book called Dopamine Nation, where she explores exciting new scientific discoveries that explain why the relentless pursuit of pleasure leads to pain, also offering practical solutions for how to manage compulsive overconsumption. Dr. Lemke, thanks so much for joining the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So let's talk about, you know, kind of where we are at in America compared with other nations. So it is true that the American people take many, many more medications than other nations. When asked in polling, they tend to say that they are in more pain than people from other nations. You would assume that on an objective level, this just is not true. If there was some way to objectively verify how much pain people were experiencing and pain were not a subjective feeling, then you would assume that there are plenty of people the world over in nations that are much poorer, that have a far lower standard of living, who would be experiencing more pain. But Americans report very high levels of pain. Why is that?
Well, it's a great question. There are some face value potential explanations for increased pain in the world over, including in the United States, which is an aging population, as well as more people living with chronic diseases, diseases that used to kill us, and now that we end up, you know, managing and living with for decades, including cancer, for example. Nonetheless, that is not sufficient to explain the increase in subjective pain that we see all over the world, especially in rich nations and especially in the United States. And my hypothesis is, in fact, that we've got two phenomena going on here. One is a culture that has taught us to fear pain in all its forms. and to tell us that any kind of pain, whether psychological or physical, will create a kind of psychic scar, setting us up for future pain in the form of either post-traumatic stress disorder or centralizing pain syndrome. But the other reason that I think we're in more pain is actually because of a physiologic response to all of the high reward substances and behaviors that we are exposed to today. We live in a world of almost universal access to highly rewarding drugs, behaviors. The result of that is our body has to physiologically downregulate our production of things like dopamine, endocannabinoids, endo-opioids, our feel-good hormones and neurotransmitters, such that we are actually in more pain, but it's not because, necessarily of trauma or disease or injury. We're in more pain in large part because we're inundated with pleasure.
So how do we fight all of that? It's obviously led to a dramatic increase in the use of opioids. This is a big discussion with regard to the opioid epidemic. So what sort of stuff can people do to fight this?
What I talk about in my book, and which I really believe because I've used it in clinical practice to good effect, is that people abstain from these feel-good drugs and behaviors. I'm talking about things like video games, pornography, cannabis, alcohol, as long as they're not at risk of a life-threatening withdrawal, if they just stop. What I recommend is stopping these kinds of substances and behaviors for 30 days, which is about the minimum amount of time that it takes for the brain to reset and for reward pathways to upregulate our own endogenous dopamine so that we can enjoy more modest rewards, but also so that we can look back in a more clear-eyed way and assess true cause and effect from our compulsive overconsumption. However, the caveat to that is if you're dealing with somebody who's already developed a very severe addiction, that probably would not be an appropriate intervention. That person would probably need medical treatment, maybe even a residential treatment facility, probably even medications to help them restabilize and get into some kind of recovery.
So Dr. Lemke, obviously, as medical director of addiction medicine at Stanford University, there's sort of these two competing sides on when it comes to medication, particularly for psychiatric issues like anxiety and depression. And the two competing sides never seem to come to any sort of middle ground, which I think is where realism lies. On the one side, you have people who say these things should never be medically treated because it's all in your head and you should work your way through it. Not even sometimes using cognitive behavioral therapy, but simply, just kind of tough it out. All of this is made up. And then on the other side, you have people who think that everything should be medicated. When is medication actually appropriate?
Yeah, well, I will just say that my message and my book is all about finding that middle path. Although I recommend this 30-day abstinence trial as kind of a Gedanken experiment, what I talk about after that trial in many cases is how to seek moderation or moderate use. And the same thing goes for psychotropic medications. These are amazing tools. I prescribe them. I'm glad to have them. Some instances, they can be absolutely life-saving. On the other hand, I do think that they are overprescribed. There is good evidence that they're overprescribed, and they're certainly prescribed at much higher doses and for longer duration than there is evidence to support. So, what we don't want to do is throw the baby out with the bathwater. These are excellent medications. They are effective in the right person for the right duration at the right dose. But we are wildly overprescribing psychotropics, opioids, benzodiazepines like Xanax, Valium. And so there is a huge mandate among healthcare providers, in my opinion, to really scale that back and instead use non-medication interventions or even non-medical interventions. I mean, people put so much faith in, medical institutions, but in fact, there are lots of things that people can do in their own lives without the aid of the doctor that are much better than having a doctor prescribe you a pill.
Interesting, Dr. Anna Lemke. Her book is Dopamine Nation, which is out right now. Dr. Lemke, you write on page 186 of this book that there is a victim narrative that is sort of crippling people in their approach to pain. You say even when people have been victimized, if the narrative never moves beyond victimhood, it's difficult for healing to occur. Now, what do we do to fight that? Because it really is true in nearly every area of American life and just generally that if you perceive yourself as a victim, you're far less likely to take the measures necessary in order to actually heal yourself or to take measures that are going to help you.
Right. Well, I think, you know, this problem largely stems out of a century of psychoanalysis being corrupted by this idea that infinite empathy is going to heal people. Empathy and compassion are important, but they're not the end all. People absolutely have to make behavioral changes in their lives in order to get better. And one of the things that I've seen after 25 years of psychiatric practice is when my patients come in and they blame everybody else for their problems, they're not going to get better. What I need to do is acknowledge the ways in which they've been harmed, and many people have had horrific lives and horrific trauma, but then they need to move beyond that and think about what they have contributed to the problem, because we've all contributed something, even if it's a small amount, to almost any problem, and then practically speaking, what they and we can do to move past, you know, living a life that's unhappy or whatever it is.
And Dr. Anna Lemke, her book is Dopamine Nation. Go check it out today. Dr. Lemke, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All righty. We have reached the end of the week. I hope you have a wonderful Halloween. We will be back here next week to discuss all of the latest, including that big Virginia election that is coming up next week. So stay tuned. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Atlanta Braves knocking off the Houston Astros tonight 2-0. Braves now lead the World Series 2-1. Game 4 coming up Saturday night in Atlanta. Well, President Biden's approval rating just continues to plummet. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has the latest figures.
Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for Friday shows that 42% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Biden's job performance. 57% disapprove. The latest figures include 21% who strongly approve of the job Mr. Biden is doing and 48% who strongly disapprove. That gives him a presidential approval rating of negative 27. At this point in his presidency, President Trump held a 43% approval rating, 1% higher than President Biden. Bernie Bennett reporting.
FDA paving the way for youngsters ages 5 to 11 to get Pfizer's vaccine. One more hurdle, though. Next week, advisors to the CDC will be discussing which kids will get the vaccination. Also at townhall.com, wages in the United States posting their biggest increase in some 2 decades, correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
Wages and salaries jumped 1.5% in the 3-month period ending in September, the most on records dating back 20 years. The Labor Department also says the value of benefits rose just under 1% in the third quarter, more than doubling the preceding 3-month period. In the year ending in September, wages and salaries soared 4%, also a record gain. The figures demonstrate that workers are gaining greater leverage in the job market and are able to command higher pay, more benefits, and other perks such as flexible work hours. Mike Hempen, Washington.
And more on these stories at townhall.com.
Your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pet's diet.
We started Dinovite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that help support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have 2 cats and 2 dogs. All 4 of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
The Virginia gubernatorial race heating up with Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin in a very tight battle.
Democrats are disillusioned and therefore are less enthusiastic about voting. That is really entirely the reason why this is tied.
University of Virginia political analyst Larry Sabato says in recent years, Democratic candidates have done very well in Virginia.
Virginia is the state in transition or that has transitioned from being deep red Republican to at least light blue, purplish blue maybe, and normally tends to support Democrats. Democrats have won every election in the last decade.
The GOP candidate has basically shied away from public campaign visits from well-known party ties. Not that Youngkin won't help or want the help, but he just wants to do it himself. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. An American woman convicted of helping to kill her own mother on Indonesia's tourist island of Bali has walked free from prison.
Heather Mack has been released after serving 7 years of a 10-year sentence. She was almost 19 and a few weeks pregnant in 2014 when the body of her wealthy mother, Sheila von Wiesmack, was found in a suitcase inside the trunk of a taxi. Heather Mack's then-boyfriend, Tommy Schaefer, received an 18-year sentence. During her incarceration on Bali, their daughter Stella has been living with a foster family. Mack's not seen her for about 20 months because prison visits were halted during the pandemic. I'm Charles Duladesma.
Wall Street Friday, the Dow closed up 89 points at 35,819, NASDAQ up 50 at 15,498. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Fern Creek, and Airport Road. Come check out our sale October 18th through the 31st. With this fall weather, it's a perfect time to save big when ordering your sod for your yard or planting a winter garden. Garden Power soil is only $45.99 a yard. King Kong winterizer fertilizer for only $24.99 a bag. Need to update your tools? All hand tools, including shovels, rakes, picks, and more, all drastically reduced. Been wanting a patio or pathway? Baselite pavers and retaining wall is all on sale. As always, Lauk's Landscape Supply carries all your sands, soils, barks, and gravels for your projects, whether you pick up or we deliver. Now's the chance to save big October 18th through the 31st at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Kern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out on the web at louckslandscape.com or give us a call at 378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so before we get to the latest in the Build Back Better drama and whether Joe Biden is going to be able to cram through this $1.75 trillion boondoggle, which actually is not $1.75 trillion, it's actually closer to $3 trillion, as we will discuss, it is important to mention that everything right now in terms of the Democratic hopes relies on Glenn Youngkin not winning in Virginia. So this Virginia gubernatorial race has now become one of the great shockers in modern American political history. The polling shows Glenn Youngkin up. There are two separate polls out yesterday showing Glenn Youngkin up substantially on Terry McAuliffe. Remember, this is a state that Joe Biden won just a few months back by 10 points. Hey, this state has now shifted dramatically against the party of the president of the United States. According to a brand new poll provided to the Washington Examiner, Youngkin is now at 47 and McAuliffe is at 43. Hey, and that's not the only poll that is like this. There's another poll that is out from Fox News. Fox News historically has been a very pro-McAuliffe poll. The new poll shows Youngkin up 8 points on McAuliffe, 53 to 45. Youngkin leads among registered voters by 1 point and likely voters by 8. Youngkin is at plus 14 with parents, plus 11 on the economy, plus 8 on education, plus 12 on crime, and even plus 1 on COVID. Hey, we are only a few days out from the election. Now, this is not the first time that something like this has happened. Actually, Bob McDonnell, when he won election in Virginia, that had been right after a Democratic sweep. And then he won election in Virginia by like a wide margin, shifted from a plus 6 Democratic state to like a plus 17 state for Bob McDonnell. So Virginia does have a habit of backlashing against radicalism. And that's what you are seeing right here. And Democrats have to be running a little bit scared because McAuliffe has run on the Biden agenda and by yelling Trump a lot. And it's not working. And the Biden agenda is really unpopular. Bringing in Joe Biden to try and save the day had apparently no impact. Americans are still concerned with the radicalism of critical race theory. They are still concerned with whether they get to control their kids' education. They're still concerned with inflation. They're concerned with all of the issues Democrats would prefer they not care about. And the Democratic solution for all these problems is to continue to throw money at it. Well, if Glenn Youngkin upsets Terry McAuliffe, who, remember, is a revered figure inside the Democratic Party. He's a former governor of Virginia. He's the former head of DNC. He's a Hillary Clinton acolyte. If Terry McAuliffe goes down to flaming defeat in Virginia, there are going to be a lot of Congress people, blue dog Democrats, if they still exist, some of the senators, are going to say, I don't really want to reap the whirlwind in order to push through a bill that is just loaded with pork for Joe Biden's friends. It does not seem like a good deal. Okay, so this is why Joe Biden is trying to push this through. He needs to ram this through. So yesterday, Joe Biden tried to ram this thing through, the infrastructure bill at the very least. So his basic idea was divide up the infrastructure bill and build back better. Why? Well, if you can get the infrastructure bill passed, then there will be no leverage for the Progressive Caucus on the Build Back Better plan, because they'll either have to vote it up or vote it down, but they'll be voting it up or down in the absence of any piece of leverage. If they vote against the bill, then the bill just goes down to defeat. They don't get any win out of it. It just looks like spite. If, however, they hold up the infrastructure plan in order to get people to put more pork into the Build Back Better plan, then they have a little bit of leverage. So Joe Biden was really pushing yesterday for an infrastructure plan vote. He wanted that vote yesterday. He put out a framework for Build Back Better. He hoped that this would get the Congressional Progressive Caucus on board to vote for the infrastructure plan. And then he could separate off Build Back Better, and then he wouldn't have to worry about the progressives. He could just go ahead and push forward his moderate plan, get enough votes on the Democratic side of the aisle to do it, and the progressives would probably join in because it's better for them to vote up or down on Build Back Better and vote in favor than not to vote for it at all. Right? The leverage game is over if there's a vote on the infrastructure plan. So late last night, Joe Biden was pushing very hard for there to be a vote. Nancy Pelosi was pushing hard for there to be a vote. This is the second straight week Nancy Pelosi has said they wanted to vote on infrastructure, and this is the second straight week that it simply didn't happen. So if this extends, if this discussion extends all the way past the election next week, which is happening on November 2nd, if that election ends up going in Glenn Youngkin's favor, I think it's going to be very difficult for Democrats to pass anything that looks remotely like even what they're discussing right now, because none of the details have been worked out. Maybe they get an infrastructure plan, but it's hard to imagine that Manchin, who's in the state next door to Glenn Youngkin, and Sinema, who's going to be running a competitive race next time, she didn't win by very much last time, that both of them are going to be deeply interested in voting for Build Back Better. So remember that Sinema and Manchin are actually just shielding a couple of other Democrats in the Senate who are really in tight races right now. So Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire, for example, is not guaranteed a reelect in her race. Sununu might run in that race. If he runs, she's in real trouble. So if she votes for Build Back Better and votes for tax increases in a state that is a very low tax state, New Hampshire, it doesn't like taxes very much, she could easily lose that seat. That's another senator who is going to be on the firing line if Youngkin wins in Virginia. Mark Kelly is in Arizona. And he ran a very competitive race last time. But there's no reason why he wouldn't be highly vulnerable if this bill passes with his vote and it passes on a straight party line vote, 50-50. So what happens in Virginia matters an awful lot, which is why Joe Biden is trying to force this thing through fast. What's amazing is that he's trying to force this thing through in the face of overwhelming evidence that the American people are not interested. His approval ratings are down in the low 40s. And the harder he pushes his plan, the lower his approval ratings go. Plus, the U.S. economy in Q3 just died. It just laid down and died. It laid an egg. According to the Washington Post, the U.S. economy grew at a disappointing 2.0% annual rate in the third quarter as the Delta variant peaked, but promising signs suggest 2021 is on track to notch the fastest full-year growth in almost four decades. I love how the Washington Post has to try and salvage Joe Biden from himself. So right now, you should not be having quarterly growth of 2%. You should be having quarterly annualized growth of 7 or 8%. It is what was forecast all year long. Yes, this is going to be a fast growth year overall because we had the worst year in terms of GDP growth in modern American history last year because of the artificial shutdown of the entire economy thanks to COVID. But Joe Biden's policies have now crimped an economy that should have been racing ahead at full speed because he has pushed inflationary policy, because he has pushed bad tax policy, because he has made people unlikely to invest. And even if you are investing, you can't even get workers out there. He's paying people to stay home. Build Back Better does that too. And Joe Biden's answer, as always, is more cowbell. So they've got a real pickle on their hands. They're kind of stuck here. If they push Build Back Better and it passes, they might lose the Senate. And if they don't pass Build Back Better, then it looks like Joe Biden is incompetent and he can't get his party together. Now, both of those things can be true. But if either one of them is true, he's got a real problem come 2022. The notion that this $1.75 trillion budget plan is suddenly going to jog the economy is totally crazy. It's not going to jog the economy. It's simply going to be pushing more money into an economy that's already inflating. And Joe Biden is not making a convincing case for his own agenda. So yesterday, he was making the case for Build Back Better again. He's on the stump. And as I say, Joe Biden on the stump is basically just two tree stumps on top of each other. Because Joe Biden is himself a stump. So it's a stump atop another stump. So Joe Biden from the White House yesterday was trying to push forward his Build Back Better plan. He put forward a framework, okay, not the actual plan. So when people say they'll vote for it or vote against it, it doesn't mean anything until we actually have all of the details. But he put together a framework, and he basically said, I'm skipping town tomorrow, right, because today he's headed over to Europe to jabber with the Europeans about global warming or some such, and hang out with the Pope in a non-televised event. And Joe Biden, he says, I'm going to dump this framework out there, and then I'm going to pretend like we've achieved some sort of grand progress here. Here he was yesterday trying to push Build Back Better, and of course, he is not an inspiring figure, folks.
This framework includes historic investments in our nation and in our people. Any single element of this framework would be viewed as a fundamental change in America. Taken together, they're truly consequential.
Okay, inspiring stuff. The words of a charismatic leader there from Joe Biden. I'm sure he's going to start convincing people. Maybe if he yells at us. Maybe he just randomly yells in the middle of sentences. That'll do it.
We used to lead the world in educational achievement. Now the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development ranks America 35th out of the 37 major countries when it comes to investing in early childhood education and care. We know how our children start impacts significantly on how they'll finish.
He's very angry at you. I don't know why he's angry at you. You didn't do it. Also, Head Start, as we will discuss in a little bit, which is kind of a big part of this program, they're basically trying to universalize Head Start. Head Start's a giant fail. It's a giant waste of money. Okay, and then you might think, okay, well, you have some questions for this guy? Because after all, he's willing to stand there and take blow after blow on behalf of his plans. Nope. He's going to run away. He's brave Sir Robin, running away. Here we go, as always.
Thank you.
Catch you later. Bye-bye. And there's Joe stumbling out of the room on his way to Europe. What an inspiring figure. Amazing stuff. Okay, so, again, Joe Biden's plan as of yesterday was, let's get the infrastructure vote done. So he throws out the framework, hoping that the congressional progressives will endorse the framework and feel so comfortable that they then vote on the infrastructure plan, which takes away all their leverage on the framework. Well, wrong he was. According to Politico, the House voted Thursday night to temporarily reauthorize transportation funding, abruptly reversing course after Democratic leaders earlier vowed to pass a bipartisan Senate-approved infrastructure bill. The move came after progressives refused to relent in their opposition to the $550 billion infrastructure bill amid a standoff over Democrats' separate party-line $1.75 trillion social spending measure. It followed a visit to Capitol Hill by President Biden, who personally asked House Democrats for their support on both of them. Nope. Nope. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her leadership team were ultimately unable to win over dozens of dug-in liberals in time for a Thursday evening vote. Instead, they're now breaking for the weekend. House liberals said they want to review the legislative text of the $1.75 trillion social spending legislation the White House outlined on Thursday. It's like 1,600 pages of garbage. And get a commitment of support from centrist Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, something the two have not given outright at this point. And again, Sinema and Manchin, when I say that they are really on razor's edge here, if Youngkin wins in Virginia, they have got to be looking at their political futures and saying, if I vote for this thing, what exactly do I get? Despite an aggressive whipping campaign from Democratic leaders, as many as 30 liberal Democrats threatened to block the roughly $550 billion Senate-passed infrastructure bill, according to multiple people familiar with the vote-tallying operation. As House Democrats headed home for the weekend in defeat, many were infuriated and left wondering how they had stumbled yet again, pointing fingers within their own party. Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Representative Pramila Jayapal, she said, I tried to tell anybody who had listened that we didn't have the votes. She then added, we want assurances that Build Back Better is going to pass in the Senate before we commit to actually passing the infrastructure vote. Here's Representative Pramila Jayapal, who on the left is running things for the Democratic Party.
We need to see both votes on the Build Back Better Act and the infrastructure bill moving forward together. We also want to see the commitment from the two senators and frankly all 50 senators that they are also supportive of this framework and that it will be passed with no undermining in the Senate.
Okay, so again, the progressives are not going to give up their leverage. They've dug their teeth in, and Biden and Pelosi really can't do much about that at all other than trying to get the progressives on board for actual Build Back Better. Again, the more time that passes, the worse this gets for the Democrats. Remember, We are now at the end of October. By next week, we'll be into November. At the beginning of December, the Democrats face the debt ceiling again. So if they don't actually have a deal by the time they hit December, Republicans are not extending that debt ceiling again. It's going to have to be done solely with the reconciliation process via solely Democratic votes. So Democrats are in trouble here, and even if they pass this, they are in trouble. We'll get some more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance for your family. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started, super simple. First, head over to policygenius.com/Shapiro in minutes. You can work out just how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the progressives are holding up the works. We'll explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
All aboard! Haas Farms is now open, and it's family night fall fun for the whole family with a kid's roller coaster, go-karts and bumper cars, pony rides, little bug playland and petting zoo, zip lines and pumpkin cannons. Jump on the Haas Express Railroad train and cruise around the orchard. Family night is every Thursday with free general admission thanks to Sinorama. Haas Farms is now open for all the fall fun and food. Haas Kettle Corn, hot dogs, Moe's Pizza, plus beer and wine for the 21 and over. All haunted attractions are open every Friday and Saturday. The Field of Screams, the Sinister Workshop, and the Zombie Slayer paintball excursions. Come blast some zombies on the Zombie Slayer rides. Special thanks to sponsors Above Board Construction and Roofing, Redding Heating and Air, Sinorama, Redding Harley Davidson, and Only One Benji. All tickets are being sold online this year, so for complete pricing and a schedule of events, get online to HawesFarms.com. That's HawesFarms.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the progressives are holding up the works because they want more from the Build Back Better plan. Here's Bernie Sanders making that statement yesterday. It is amazing how the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party now has real influence.
From day one, that both of these bills are linked. I support the infrastructure bill, but I want to see a strong Build Back Better bill as well, and they're linked together. So what you don't want to see is the infrastructure bill passed and then not have the kind of Build Back Better bill that we need. And that's why you need 50 members on board before there should be a vote, in my view, in the House.
Now, Politico is trying to spin this as a win for Biden somehow. What they're trying to spin as a win for Biden is the fact that Pramila Jayapal and the CPC put out a statement on the status of the Build Back Better negotiations, in which they said that they overwhelmingly voted to endorse in principle the entire Build Back Better Act framework announced by Biden today. They say, we appreciate the president's leadership and his commitment to getting this process over the finish line. He reaffirmed, as our caucus has month after month, that both the infrastructure bill and the popular Build Back Better Act must move together because they are part of the same agenda. Today, we are reiterating our enthusiastic commitment to delivering that entire agenda to people across America. The reality is that while talks around the infrastructure bill lasted months in the Senate, there has only been serious discussion around the specifics of the larger Build Back Better Act in recent weeks, thanks to the Progressive Caucus holding the line and putting both parts of the agenda back on the table. Now, Congress needs to finish the job and bring both bills to a vote together. This can't be accomplished without legislative text that can be fully assessed and agreed upon by all the parties. So, Politico is trying to play this as a win for Biden because the CPC said that they agree with the framework, but agreeing with the framework don't mean squat. If they really agreed with the framework, they would have voted on the infrastructure plan yesterday, which they didn't. And Nancy Pelosi is super pissed about it. According to Politico earlier in the day, until they called the vote off Thursday evening, Pelosi and other top Democrats had been firm in their calls to vote. Projecting confidence, Pelosi teed up a House Rules Committee meeting on a bill text that will make up the base of the social spending bill. Cabinet members, outside advocates also pushed liberals to back the infrastructure bill before Biden landed in Rome. Pelosi said, quote, let's do it in timely fashion. Let's not just keep having postponements and leaving doubt as to when this would happen. Well, nope. So the progressives were like, guess what, Nancy? We don't work for you. She cannot control her caucus. Here's Cori Bush, the adjunct member of the squad from Missouri, saying, I'm not going to vote for Build Back Better.
There are home care workers that came to me in my district that cried because they were talking about nobody fights for us. Congresswoman, you are our congresswoman. Will you fight for us? I remember those faces right now. I will not turn my back on those home care workers. I won't turn my back on teachers and principals. I won't turn my back on anyone else in our community. We can't just look at one sect of our community. We have to look at the whole of it, and they deserve this. So, Cori Bush, I stand with my people, all of them.
So, meanwhile, Representative Ilhan Omar, she's doing the same thing. She says both bills or none on infrastructure.
We need to keep the promise that was made. We've been very clear. We need to see the two bills simultaneously move together.
Yep.
If there is urgency in getting this done, the senators need to understand that urgency as well and move as urgent as they want us to move so that we can get the two legislations done.
Okay, so according to Punchbowl, which is another D.C. insidery publication, quote, there's no denying Thursday's episode was an embarrassing setback for Democrats, Biden included. Biden was supposed to help Pelosi bridge an ugly split between moderates and progressives. That didn't happen. In fact, it may be even worse. Strangely, when Biden met with House Democrats on Thursday, he didn't ask them to vote for the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which Pelosi was trying to get to the floor. Instead, the president urged rank and file lawmakers to back both the infrastructure bill and the framework for the Build Back Better Act, which the White House unveiled early that morning. Pelosi had to jump up and say they should vote for the infrastructure bill first. Progressive noticed Biden's omission. They later argued that Biden had given them the green light to say no on infrastructure. So Joe Biden came in like the senile, doddering fool that he is. And he completely undercut Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi's like, we want to give you the infrastructure win, and then they won't have any leverage on Build Back Better, and we can do exactly what you want, Mr. President. And Biden came in, and he's like, well, yeah, you should vote for both. We made a promise. We're going to vote for both of them together. And the progressive's like, see, he's on our side. And Pelosi's like, I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know. According to Punchbowl, this wasn't just an oversight by Biden. The White House then adopted a deliberate hands-off approach to yesterday's scheduled vote, according to Democratic lawmakers. And then, apparently, there was a call between the White House Legislative Director of Legislative Affairs, Louisa Terrell, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese, several senior White House officials, and key Democratic lawmakers. Apparently, Terrell was repeatedly asked to spell out their position on infrastructure. Representative Suzanne Delbene from Washington, chair of the New Democrat Coalition, asked straight out whether Biden wanted House Democrats to vote for the infrastructure bill. The White House officials then said they support both bills, which again undercut Pelosi. We would have had a victory today if only he had asked for it, one Democratic aide said of Biden. So complete debacle. Politico tried to play it as a win. Punchbowl is actually being a lot more honest. But it just once again demonstrates that this administration does not know what the hell it is doing. And they have no leverage over the progressive members of their coalition. I think, honestly, I think that when it comes right down to it, I'm not sure that Biden even wants to pass the damn thing. I think Biden says he wants to pass the thing, and then he wants to run in 2024 on Republican obstructionism. The problem is he's got a Democratic caucus. It makes it so difficult for him. In some ways, the worst thing that has happened to Biden is the fact that Republicans blew both those Georgia Senate races, because now there's been an actual ask made of Democrats. If Mitch McConnell were running the Senate, we all know this would be DOA. But because it's Manchin and Sinema, it's put Biden in a box of his own making, because he is not pursuing anything remotely like a moderate policy. And they're making clear, Biden is, that so much of this is performative. The way that he is marketing Build Back Better is not as a moderate attempt to shore up holes in the social safety net. He's pushing it as a transformative plan that is going to radically redefine how economics is done in the United States. And so maybe his goal is that nothing passes, because then he can say that he was trying to be transformative and everybody else failed him. Because just like Barack Obama, the president can never fail. You can only fail the president. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden is pitching this entire shtick as a really transformative moment for America. It may be, but not in the way Americans are interested in. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Berks Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Berks Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Berks Construction Management.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District Radio Show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson. Or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams, or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop-off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is pitching unending spending, forever stagnation, in the midst of what is looking to be maybe an economic downturn. Right now, we should be booming. Now, it is amazing how the media are reporting that last quarter's economic downturn was largely due to Delta, not to the policies of the Biden administration and blue state governors. We know that's not true because here in Florida, where we have a red state governor, and we are not paying attention to anything that Joe Biden has to say, the economy is booming. Once again, I repeat, it is the single most important economic statistic, because if the states are laboratories of democracy, then their policies ought to show some differences. If you look at the unemployment rate by state in the United States right now, I'm looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics for September. Okay, here are the best states in terms of employment. Here's the list. Again, I'll do it again. Okay, Utah. Okay, Nebraska's number one. Red. Utah, red. Idaho, red. New Hampshire, purple. South Dakota, red. Vermont, purple. Well, Vermont's kind of blue. Oklahoma, red. Alabama, red. Georgia, red. Montana, red. North Dakota, red. Minnesota, blue. Missouri, red. Virginia, now turning purple. Kansas, red. Wisconsin, purple. Arkansas, red. Indiana, red. Iowa, red. South Carolina, North Carolina, red, red. Kentucky, red. Tennessee, red. Wyoming, red. Okay? Are you noticing a pattern here? These are all the best states in terms of unemployment. Now, let's go to the bottom of the list. Okay, here are the worst states in terms of unemployment right now. Nevada, blue. California, blue. New York, blue. New Jersey, blue. New Mexico, blue. Illinois, blue. Connecticut, blue. Hawaii, blue. D.C., blue. Okay, you noticing a pattern at all here? Okay, so if this is supposedly just about Delta, why this heavy striation thanks to obvious political consideration? Especially because Delta, this wave, hit the red states. Okay, so if the idea is that Delta is what hurt the economy, you would expect a massive jump in unemployment in southern red states. Most of the states that have high unemployment rates are not southern and had no Delta spike. And a lot of the states that I read to you at the very beginning are southern and had serious Delta spikes. Right? In that list of states that I was reading to you, was the state of Tennessee, major Delta spike. Was the state of Georgia, serious Delta spike. So what exactly is the deal, guys? It looks more like this has less to do with Delta than it has to do with political policy. The Democrats have to keep claiming, and the media have to repeat it, that the real economic downturn is not Democratic policy, when we all know that it is. And they have to keep claiming that so that we will pretend that Joe Biden's massive spending plan isn't going to be just as damaging as the rest of his garbage agenda. So what exactly is in this budget framework? According to the Wall Street Journal editorial board, The blueprint the White House released is more frame than work. The jury-rigged plan is an enormous expansion of government with quarter-baked entitlement programs that will retard work and $1.58 trillion in tax increases that will distort and limit investment. The $1.75 trillion cost the Democrats have assigned is a lie. They use phony accounting to finance a few years of new spending with 10 years of tax increases. For example, the plan extends the $3,600 child tax credit for 1 year at a cost of $110 billion. But Democrats are going to extend it next year. If it's extended for 10 years, that would be $1.1 trillion, not $110 billion. So literally they are saying that the cost of a program they are extending is $110 billion. The actual cost over 10 years, if it were extended as they hope to do, is $1.1 trillion. So it's a false sunset. The agreement drops the House's proposed Medicare vision and dental expansion, but preserves a new hearing benefit, which the White House claims will cost a mere $34 billion and start in 2024. The annual cost of the hearing benefit, once fully phased in, is $16 billion. Congress will make it permanent. True cost, $160 billion. And this sort of stuff is true throughout the bill. The real cost is likely closer to $4 trillion than $1.75 trillion. Meanwhile, the plan is to ratchet up taxes in a wide variety of ways. They're trying to claim $400 billion in revenues from $80 billion in, quote, IRS investments, a 66% budget increase for the IRS, including hiring more auditors. Does this sound like fun to you? You really want more auditors looking down your neck? Is that really what, like, breathing on your neck? That's what you want? More IRS? Who in the United States was like, you know what we need more of? IRS auditors. Huge. We need more people at the IRS. Americans hate the IRS, and for good reason. By the way, it's a lie that this is going to claim $400 billion in revenue. The CBO says this is only going to yield $200 billion in revenue. And because we're spending $80 billion on the IRS to build them new toilets, it's actually only going to net about $120 billion to the federal government. Also, the $1.85 trillion in tax increases includes a 15% minimum tax on book income of large corporations. But we all know what's going to happen here. Democrats are then going to create carve-outs for all their friends. Corporations are going to be taxed on stock buybacks. So corporations will just shift the way that they pay people from stock buybacks to share dividends. Despite its anti-corporate advertising, the bill is a giant boondoggle for it's basically Solyndra. They're dedicating $555 billion for climate spending, investing in renewables, nuclear, hydrogen, carbon capture, electric vehicles, batteries, and transmission lines. That's on top of the tens of billions in green energy handouts in the Senate infrastructure bill. Okay, that's how much of that is going to be efficient spending? The answer is very little. The truth is that the government invests in a lot of projects. You never see the benefits of the vast majority of them. And very often it's corrupt. We know this because one Barack Obama tried to do the exact same thing. You remember those green jobs that were supposed to materialize? And it turns out it was all just a lie. Also, we are going to see massive tax increases, a 5% surtax on income over $10 million, 8% over $25 million. Those surtaxes raise the top marginal personal income tax rate to 45% or so. And in New York and California, where you have state tax on top of that, the people at the top of the tax brackets are going to be paying 60% in New York and California. How many billionaires do you think are going to stick around in New York and California for that? See, it doesn't make a difference to them if the marginal tax increase between, like, New York and Florida is not all that great. But if you're talking about the difference between paying, say, a 45% tax rate and a 60% tax rate, get ready, red states, for a lot of income, because everybody's going to be moving on down to Texas and Florida, which is the reason that Nancy Pelosi and company wanted to restore the SALT deduction. Right? They wanted to make sure that you paid your state income tax first so that they could essentially give a subsidy to the blue states. So the bill is a full-scale disaster, and it's filled, again, with this notion that there is a great urgency to do all of this. And I'm sorry, but there isn't a great urgency to do all of this, particularly the $500 billion on climate change nonsense. I mean, that's the single biggest part of the bill, is $555 billion to fight climate change, largely through tax incentives for low-emission sources of energy. Okay, well, here is the thing. Those tax incentives for low-emission sources of energy are not going to marginally, they're really not going to in any real way lower the carbon emissions. Okay, people putting solar on their house is not going to make the rate of global warming decrease in any serious material way over the course of the next 100 years. What you need is actual innovation. And innovation is generally derived from making things marketable and not from simply throwing money at the problem. They're not even dedicating that $555 billion to the kind of infrastructure change that would be necessary to cope with rising climate. Now, you'll remember that last year, well, this year, actually, there's this big hurricane. It swept through the South. Remember, it was very similar to Hurricane Katrina. It didn't do nearly as much damage. Why? Because they'd shored up the infrastructure in New Orleans. We should be spending money on that kind of stuff. Like, why? The Northeast got completely flooded. One of the reasons it got completely flooded is because the infrastructure there is not so good. But the progressives are like, we're not going to build that infrastructure. Instead, we are going to need $555 billion to pay the schmuck down the street to get a Tesla. Okay, but by the way, that is not a poor people thing. Teslas are very expensive. Subsidizing electric cars are not something that impoverished people in this country are deeply worried about right now. So this is one thing that the wild left is very enthusiastic about. And they have to try and scare you into believing that we need to spend this kind of money. So you have the irrepressible, irredeemable AOC, so fresh, so phased, faceness and freshness abounding, saying that entire regions of the United States are going to be unlivable unless she can put her hand in your wallet, take out all of your money, and then hand it to a bunch of people who vote Democrat.
By 2028, crop yields are already projected to begin to fail, with famine beginning to hit the world's most vulnerable populations. By 2038, current U.S. drought, fire, and extreme heat trends could potentially make whole regions of the United States unlivable if we continue the trends that lobbyists are trying to have us pursue.
Who actually believes this? Really? First of all, there are already regions of the United States where people don't live. Okay, there are broad swaths of the West where people just don't live. Okay, and people will move. People will adapt, as they have literally throughout human history. Remember, there used to be an actual land bridge between Asia and the United States and North America. It doesn't exist anymore. There's a sea over it. Climate change has been a perennial of human existence. People have adapted to it. I guess, optimistic, because now she's extended her timeline for doom to 2038. You'll recall that a couple of years ago, she said we had 12 years or the Earth was going to completely eat us. It's just going to open up like the book of numbers and just swallow us whole. Meanwhile, I have Ayanna Pressley saying this is a climate justice bill. This is not what the word justice means, guys. I mean, the word justice has a meaning. And when you just add some other word in front of it to mean a thing that I like, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Here's Ayanna Pressley pushing this.
One climate scientist said, quote, what we do in the next 10 years will matter for 10,000 years, unquote. I believe that what we do in the next 10 days on infrastructure investments will be the true predictor of our planet's future. The Build Back Better Act is a climate justice bill and a workers' justice bill. We can and we must act with urgency. Thank you, and I yield back.
Climate and workers' justice and everything justice. It's so tiresome. It all is linked together with the progressive agenda to call everything white supremacy. So Cori Bush yesterday, she started berating oil executives by calling them white supremacists because they drill for oil or something. I don't even understand what she's talking about now.
For years, you all have continued to promote fossil fuels despite knowing that promoting them means promoting environmental racism and violence in black and brown communities. You all are still promoting and selling fossil fuels that are killing millions of people. This is a striking example of white supremacy. Your profit-driven choices threaten my life, the lives of my family, my neighbors, and our community every single day.
I'm sorry, oil threatens black communities every single day? Truly? You know, it seems kind of like white supremacy to me, frankly. A bunch of upper crust white liberals in the main who are telling a bunch of countries, largely people of color, that they cannot have economic development because we are deeply concerned that over the course of the next 100 years, they might have to move their beach houses in the United States. That seems a lot more like white supremacy than people drilling for oil so that people can live in not abject poverty. Honestly, carbon-based fuels were one of the great discoveries of mankind. And thank God, we are now developing alternative sources of energy. People are buying Teslas. Like, it is good that people are buying Teslas. I'm very much in favor of it. I'm glad that we're doing fracking because natural gas is much more environmentally friendly than oil and coal. Right? Like, all of that's true. But the notion that oil executives are complicit in white supremacy, again, it is all just ball everything up in one ball. And we need to redo how the world works. Alrighty, coming up, Democrats are saying we need to spend more money than in any time in human history because the world is going to burn otherwise. That's not true. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms.
Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Billy Pilgrim from my buddy Doug Tooley from BNT 241-3474. You need to know that number, 241-3474, for the best service. Doug and his great crew at BNT makes TV so easy. They're the experts. They do TV wall mounts. They did one for us. TV antennas, surround sound. They can even set up your RV or set up your boat. Doug doesn't do dishes, but he'll dust behind your TV. So for all your TV entertainment needs, no matter what it is, call the local guys. Call my buddy Doug Tooley, the nicest man in the world, at 241-3474. 241-3474. They'll be there on time. They'll get the job done on time, and you're good to go.
With over 60 years of combined experience, let us, your locally owned TV guys, help you. We know what we are doing. You can trust us. Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Doug makes TV easy.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
B9.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats always have to have a crisis in order to push forward massive change. Again, the Democrats are trying to force through the notion that this is everything that they are doing is required, because if not, the world will burn. And this is why they're focusing in on climate change. Everything is a crisis, because whenever you can declare a crisis, this means that you can take absolute control. So over the last year and a half, we had an actual crisis in the form of a global pandemic that's killed millions of people. But nobody actually thinks that climate change over the course of the next century is a crisis. It may be a problem. It might be a serious problem that we need to deal with. No one thinks it's a crisis that requires us to dump out trillions of dollars from a piggy bank that does not exist into an economy that's already overheated. Nobody thinks that. But Democrats have to ratchet up the rhetoric. So you get a piece like this from the New York Times today. When the world is on the brink, $3.5 trillion is a pittance by Abram Lustgarten, environmental reporter for ProPublica, wild left organization. There will be no bargains with an overheating climate. The $3.5 trillion price tag that President Biden proposed for his climate-heavy Build Back Better Act might seem enormous, but over the long term, it will be a pittance. What we don't spend now will cost us much more later. The bills for natural disasters and droughts and power outages are already pouring in. Within a few decades, the total bill will be astronomical as energy debts surge, global migration swells, industrial upheaval follows. The scale of the threat demands a new way of thinking about spending. Past budgets can no longer guide how governments spend money in the future. Some economists and climate scientists have calculated climate change could cost the United States the equivalent of nearly 4% of its gross domestic product a year by 2100. 4% is likely a conservative estimate. That comes out to about $840 billion per year, 4% of the American GDP. It figured on last year's economy. Okay, well, let's say that that's true. 4% of the American GDP, that's $840 billion per year. I noticed that you guys are attempting to spend like a multiple of that. I noticed that. That we are going to have a $4 trillion budget, that we are going to have dumped out $1.9 trillion earlier this year, that we spent $7 trillion last year. I've noticed that, and so your notion is we should spend much more money than it's going to cost us? All of this neglects the fact that there is going to be future economic growth. And if you crimp the plan, right, if you crimp economic growth with regulation and taxation, then what you end up doing is lowering the growth curve. So if you say 4% of annual GDP, you have to estimate how much that annual GDP is going to be. If the original curve is going to be high and now you've lowered the curve, okay, that curve lowering itself is a major cost. This is something that Bjorn Lomborg is constantly pointing out over at the Wall Street Journal. He says the adaptation doesn't make the cost of global warming go away entirely, but it does reduce it dramatically. Higher temperatures will shrink harvests if farmers keep growing the same crop, but they're likely to adapt. Corn production in North America has shifted away from the southeast and toward the upper Midwest. When sea levels rise, governments build defenses like levees, flood walls, and drainage systems that protected New Orleans for much of Hurricane Ida's ferocity this year. Nonetheless, many in the media push unrealistic projections of climate catastrophes while ignoring adaptation. This is correct, of course. You can see how far from reality these sorts of projections are in one heavily cited study, depicted in a graph. If you assume no society will adapt to any sea level rise between now and 2100, you'll find that vast areas of the world will be routinely flooded, causing $55 trillion in damage annually in 2100, or about 5% of global GDP. But, as the study emphasizes, in reality, societies are likely to adapt. By raising the height of dikes, the study shows humanity can negate almost all of that. Only 15,000 people would be flooded every year, which is a remarkable improvement compared with the 3.4 million people flooded in 2000. The total cost of damage, investments in new dikes, and maintenance costs of existing dikes will fall sixfold between now and 2100 to 0.008% of world GDP. So in other words, you can do something about climate change, but it does not require this garbage. So what is this really about? What this is really about is making people dependent on the government. So the White House put forward another one of these absurd, I mean, it's just absurd, slideshows. Now, you remember back in 2012, Barack Obama was pushing very hard on spending on social policy, and he put out something called The Life of Julia. And The Life of Julia was roundly mocked because it showed Julia as this woman who was utterly dependent on government her entire life. And it was openly mocked. It was mocked on late night TV. It was mocked by everybody on the right. Most people in the center thought it was stupid. Now the Biden administration is bringing it back. Like, I don't know who there was. Like, Life of Julia was great. Now we need a sequel, Life of Linda. So this is what they did. They put together something called Life of Linda. And I got to tell you, Linda leads a pretty sad life. Linda's life, according to this, is really pathetic. Number one, Linda is pregnant, and there's no father anywhere in the picture. Always and forever. The government is dad. The government is dad. This is the goal, right? Welfare policy, it's a substitute for father. And so here is the life of Linda as presented by the Biden White House, right? You're supposed to be optimistic about this and excited about this. This is what you can hope for from life. Linda is a working mother in Peoria, Illinois. She works at a local manufacturing facility as a production worker and earns $40,000 per year. She is pregnant with her son, Leo. Okay, so this is, I love how they have to just violate all, stop the gender stereotyping. She's a production worker with a hard hat and she's not a teacher or something, right? Okay, so we'll start with that. There are women in manufacturing. I'm just saying that heavy manufacturing is stereotypically a male industry, and they know that, which is why they did this. Once Leo is born, father nowhere in the picture, by the way, Linda begins receiving child tax credits of $300 per month, $3,600 annually to help cover essential costs like groceries, rent, and medicine. I have a question. How much is that going to help if the inflation outpaces the child tax credit? Also, if she does not have to work in order to receive the child tax credit, how is that going to impact the hours that she takes on at the manufacturing facility? Is she just going to stay out of the workforce, considering there are a bevy of other benefits available to Linda? But don't worry, the government will step in regardless. As Leo grows up, says the White House, the government helps cover the cost for his daycare, guaranteeing that Linda doesn't need to pay more than 7% of her income on childcare. Well, that's exciting. So we are going to also make sure that Leo can grow up in a government facility. Right? Because, again, Linda's not married. So there are no options for Linda to stay home with the kid. So that's great. When Leo turns 3, he attends a high quality pre-K program for free. I have my doubts. We were told that the public schools were going to be a high quality program for free. Nope. America's public schools are a giant fail. The only public schools that are good are the ones that are locally driven by excellent parents. That's the big defining factor. pre-K, universal pre-K, has been a giant fail. Okay, the Head Start program, which this is modeled on, has poor outcomes. And they're pretty clear about this being modeled on Head Start. The Head Start program, according to the Heritage Foundation, was launched in 1965, enrolling 560,000 kids in the new federally funded 8-week summer program. At the time, proponents were clear that Head Start's sole purpose was to prepare children for elementary school. Unfortunately, more than half a century later, it sucks. The Department of Health and Human Services, which administers Head Start, revealed in December 2012 that the nearly $8 billion Head Start program has little to no impact on the cognitive, social, emotional, or health outcomes of participants, or the parenting skills of their parents. In fact, participation in Head Start actually had some negative effects on enrolled children. Federal researchers reported worse peer relations and lower teacher-assessed math ability for Head Start kids. So more cowbell. Always more cowbell. Also, the Government Accountability Office found several Head Start centers around the country actively counseling families to underreport their incomes in order to appear eligible for the services. So they were facilitating fraud. Among the 175 Head Start centers inspected by the Inspector General, none fully complied with federal Head Start or state requirements to protect children from unsafe materials and equipment. 21 of 24 grantees did not fully comply with federal Head Start or state requirements to conduct criminal records checks, conduct recurring background checks, document criminal records checks, conduct checks of child care exclusion lists, or conduct checks of child abuse and neglect registries. And we keep spending money on it. So they're like, what if we do that? Okay, so back to the White House plan here. So you've got the little kid going through the full-scale government program all the way through. And it doesn't end there. There is more benefits. Cradle to grave. They're not hiding the ball. It's all cradle to grave stuff from this administration, of course, because this is the goal. The end goal is to reorient how Americans interact with the government. This is Joe Biden's plan. Is anybody up for this? You wonder why Glenn Youngkin is winning in Virginia might have something to do with this. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Atlanta Braves shutting out the Houston Astros 2-0 in Game 3, taking a 2-1 lead in the World Series. Game 4, Saturday night in Atlanta. Moderate Democrats Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema leaving their mark on the party. Bob Agnew has that story.
In the tug-of-war between leftists and moderates, Sinema and Manchin have managed not only to hold the line, but to move the president in their direction. What began as a $3.5 trillion proposal, the Build Back Better package has shrunk to roughly half its original size. It still gains no Republican support, but is much closer to securing approval from Manchin and Sinema, both now getting mixed reviews from Democrat colleagues. Majority Whip Dick Durbin describes the two as very influential in hammering out the compromise, and he adds, for better or worse. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at townhall.com, in the Big Apple, thousands of employees are refusing to get their COVID-19 shots despite an upcoming deadline in New York City. Correspondent Rita Foley has more.
Come Monday, they'll have to go on unpaid leave, and that could mean piles of uncollected trash, firehouses shut down, fewer police and ambulances on the street. Workers who don't comply will be put on unpaid leave starting Monday. Sanitation workers appear to be skipping garbage pickups in protest, and the city's police union went to court to try to stop the vaccine requirement. Mayor Bill de Blasio is not backing down. He says if we don't stop COVID, New Yorkers will die. I'm Rita Foley.
Well, the United States is hitting Iran with a fresh set of sanctions as President Biden prepares for a key weekend meeting with European leaders to discuss the possible resumption of nuclear talks with the Islamic Republic. More on these stories at townhall.com.
President Biden has declared war on the small business owners of America. In his first 100 days, he's pushed for a massive tax increase on small businesses. And his $2 trillion infrastructure plan is a $2 trillion tax hike on American employers. He also wants to make it harder for small business owners to keep their doors open by pushing a $15 minimum wage. And his Green New Deal will drive up energy prices on small business owners. One group is working hard to fight these attacks, the great folks at Job Creators Network. And they're looking for a few good men and women to join their small business advocacy and advisor program. They'll train you up, help you with op-eds in your local papers, and TV appearances on your local news stations. In short, their crackerjack team will prepare you to be a leader and a fighter for small businesses in your community, your state, and the country you love. If you own a business and want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com now to learn more. They're looking for a few good men and women to join their growing army of small business leaders and advocates. Go to joinjcn.com now. They need you. America needs you.
Well, average long-term mortgage rates rising again. Here's John Scott with that story.
It's due to inflation pressures, the pandemic, and some supply shortages. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reports the average rate for a 30-year mortgage jumped to 3.14% from 3.09% last week. In contrast, the key rate stood at 2.81% this time last year. The rate for a 15-year loan, a popular option for home buyers refinancing their mortgages, increased to 2.37% from 2.33% last week. John Scott reporting.
4 weeks after an oil spill off Southern California's coast, surfers have now been allowed to return to the waves and people can play in the surf, but fishermen still can't line the water. Along that coast, California has prohibited fishing in an area that ranges anywhere from 6 to 12 miles, mostly off Orange County. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, a word here, a word there, it all starts to add up. Webster adding 455 new words to the dictionary. Ben Thomas has that story in just a few words.
Dad bod, am I right? Those make the list among a number of abbreviations and slang ubiquitous on social media. Merriam-Webster defines am I right as a quick way to write am I right. Others include TBH, an abbreviation for to be honest, and FTW, as in for the win. Merriam-Webster explains, in social media, FTW is often used to acknowledge a clever or funny response to a question or meme. Partisan politics also contributed with the phrase whataboutism, the act or practice of responding to an accusation of wrongdoing by claiming that an offense committed by another is similar or worse. I'm Ben Thomas.
And more on these stories at Town Hall. .com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
We've gone from 15 days to slow the spread to 3 jabs to keep your job somehow. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? That's Ron DeSantis, the great governor of the wonderful state of Florida, and a probable future president of the United States, making a great point, making it well, punctuating with, are you kidding me? Yeah, 15 days to stop the spread. When was that? Seems like early childhood that one was sold to us. Now, 3, I don't like the word jabs, you know. 3 shots, 3 vaccines to keep your job. It's happening in New York. The clock is ticking out loud in New York. Tick, tick, tick. And not going well because an awful lot of police and firefighters are unvaccinated as of this hour. 35% of the New York City Fire Department unvaccinated. 24% of the New York City Police Department unvaccinated. You know, the Democrats are making everything better. This is the left. They have control. They've wrested control of the nation and our many great cities. And this is what they do when you give them power. They wreck the place. They wreck the economy. Joe Biden yesterday was talking about all kinds of wrecking stuff and echoing the language of Barack Obama. And I'm going to get to that, the fundamental transformation of America. You know, this is what the left is all about. They don't like this country. And we have this racist professor at Rutgers University saying some great, anti-white, it's kind of genocidal, anti-American. America is inherently racist. This is critical race theory as well. She brags about how she teaches critical race theory. And America is inherently, innately, and inexorably racist, and the only way to do away with racism, I think, is to do away with the United States of America, which is the broader program, in case you haven't been paying attention for the last 10 years or so, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years. But the Democrats, they're good and busy, good and busy. And of course, you remember Joe Biden? Do you have that Joe Biden chains thing? You have that chain? I think we made a music thing out of that, didn't we, with chain and Joe Biden. We did. Joe Biden, you remember this one? He was pandering to the black vote in the way that the Democrats always do, the party of slavery and Jim Crow. Joe Biden had this one, pandering. It's a sick kind of divisive, racist, polarizing, campaigning, pandering. But if they're not racially divisive, you know, what are they going to do? They wouldn't have anything to say.
Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules.
He didn't say
Unchain
that.
Unchain Wall Street.
Didn't say that.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
The ones that took you out of chains, but, you know, never mind that. And, you know what I'd like, Joe? You know what I'd like, Lunch Bucket, Joe? I'd like to be put back in the supply chain. I think I'd like to be put back in the, I think I'd like to have, you remember America before Joe Biden? It was much better. It hasn't taken long. A lot of damage has been done, and their allies in the news media spin it for them and stuff. But, you know, chain. I'd like to be put back in the supply chain. Can we do that? Because the supply chain, I miss the supply chain. That might be, maybe that we should have hats or something at the T-shirts. Bring back the supply chain. I miss the supply chain because Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Chain.
There he comes.
Chain. Chain.
Gonna put y'all back in chains.
Chain.
Put me back in the supply chain.
Chain of fools.
Chain of fools. That's Lunch Bucket Joe. He's in Rome today, meeting with the Pope. What CNN, they suggested maybe Congress should go visit the Pope in Rome. And then Fredo is there, the gropey. He's like Gropey Jr., isn't he? He's kind of, because his older brother now, Andrew Cuomo, the disgraced former governor Gropey, he's now facing charges at long last, legal charges, and he may end up, I'm going to get to this, he may end up on the, what do they call it, the sex offender registry. He may end up on the sex offender registry, have to register as a sex offender as the Democrat governor of the state of New York. They're, they do good stuff all over the place, don't they? They're just the Cuomo family. There's something. So Andrew Cuomo facing charges now for groping a woman and manned up on the sex offender registry, which is fun. The Democrats didn't get their bills passed on Capitol Hill last night because the radical left is the tail that's wagging the dog. And is it okay to call them a dog and to call the squad a tail, or is that something wrong with that? I'll have to check back on that. But now they're looking at, thanks to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, is she the right kind of bisexual, do you think? Or it's hard to say. Oh, the long knives are out for her. Now they got a whole bunch of her staff people to quit. You see this? Because she's not towing the line of the radical left. And that's where the Democrat Party is. They are the radical left. They're controlled by the radical left, and they bow to the radical left. And they, in effect, they are the radical left. These aren't liberals. These are leftists. It's a completely different proposition. But thanks to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten, not the right kind of bisexual Sinema, she, that's NBC News, They're down to $1.75 trillion, and they're acting like, oh, this is a real disappointment. We're hardly getting anything, you know. It's $1.7 trillion. It goes from here to there. Take hundreds of thousands of years to pay off at a dollar a second. I haven't crunched the numbers on this lately, but, you know, I like to do that. I've been doing that for years, dollars versus seconds. And, you know, to pay off our national debt, take like 750,000 years at a dollar a second, something like that. I'll go back and do the math again. But the Joe Biden yesterday talking about fundamental change and truly transforming this nation, just like Barack Obama, 5 days away from the fundamental transformation of America. Nobody actually voted for the fundamental transformation of the greatest country on the face of the earth and in the history of the world. But Joe did allow that, you know, millionaires and billionaires should be allowed to seek their goal, not to achieve their goals, but to seek. And then the government will come and rip everything out of your hands, because that's where we're headed. Now, the Biden people are looking at handing $450,000 to illegal aliens. What, to all of them? No, to each one of them. See, during the Trump years, while people were being arrested for breaking our laws at our border, what always happened, and parents were separated from children, you see, right? And so, and it's still going on today, by the way, although less so, because they just haven't opened the floodgates approach to our southern border. Millions of people coming in, and MS-13 and fentanyl, and, you know, never mind that, 90,000 dead from opioid overdoses last year, but pay no attention to that. Open the door. And just extraordinary stuff, $450,000 per person. Per Francine, per person, you see. So if mom showed up with a child and the mom and child were separated, I guess for 10 minutes or something, maybe overnight, maybe one overnight, they're going to get $450,000 each, according to a plan being cobbled together by the Democrats and the Biden administration. So if it's a family of four, it's nearly $2 million, right? I mean, it's $450,000 each, so it's $900,000, so $1.8 million for a family of four that came to our border and were separated. Now, keep in mind that every drunk driver is separated from their children. Every tax evader sent to jail is separated from their children. That Hollywood woman that tried to get her girl into college, you know, what was her name again? Lori Loughlin. She was separated from her children when she was sent to jail for trying to get her daughter into college. She was separated from her children. They're all separated from their children. Jeffrey Epstein was separated from his children. You know, his children being, it's defined differently with Jeffrey Epstein. Before he didn't kill himself in that jail cell when nobody was around and the cameras didn't work and the tape wasn't there and the guards were gone. No problem there. So $450,000, family of four, nearly $2 million, which I think is like, you know, putting the bat signal up in the sky, but with a dollar sign along our southern border, saying, hey, you know, what are you, stupid? Come and violate America's laws, because the left is here and they're trying to bankrupt the United States of America and capitalism itself. And they're doing a heck of a job, even though Bernie Sanders and the squad are not fully satisfied with $1.7 trillion. But never mind that. $450,000 per person. And, you know, the legal teams are in there, the Democrat ally legal teams are in there backing the illegal aliens who came here and broke our laws and will now be rewarded handily. Now, I'd love it if my best girl and I could get $450,000 each by crossing the border. How long would we have to be separated to get this $900,000 for myself? Michael, would you volunteer for that, separated from your wife and child for how long? For there are three of you, so $450,000 times three. You know, you'd be set. You know, your retirement would be in pretty good shape, I got to say. That's good stuff. That is, that's the Democrat Party today. They're completely insane, and they're trying to bankrupt the country and destroy the country and turn it into Calcutta. I was walking through my neighborhood yesterday, and they're like, you know, people with no legs and people with one leg with one crutch, and they're blind and they're holding up cups, and, you know, people laying on the sidewalk groaning, and that's how you know they're alive. And I was like, you know, it's not just turning into a third world country, it's turning into Calcutta, the black hole of Calcutta. Remember the black hole of Calcutta? You ever been to the black hole of Calcutta? And just amazing what they're doing to the country. Open borders and the racist professor from Rutgers. And of course, what we have going on in Virginia with the poll numbers swinging against that Terry McAuliffe person who got rich off of what? How did he get rich again? Being in Democrat politics, tens of millions of dollars. And everybody's a racist, and they don't teach critical race theory when they do. And he's a Clintonista. He's a fundraiser is what he is. But the Democrats are good with that, making him governors and stuff, because it's a very crooked party, and we live in a very crooked time. Also, with the New York City facing doom, 24% of police unvaccinated, and the deadline is once again today or midnight or whatever, and 35% of firefighters. Sounds good. It'll be a heyday for criminals and arsonists in New York because they're turning our cities into beep one at a time. Amazing stuff, but there are also deadlines for the military, and it's kind of amazing. Where's my note on this? Because the Air Force vaccine deadline is Tuesday, and there are about 12,000 U.S. Air Force people unvaccinated, and also the Army and the Navy, and they're talking about just canning people and no benefits, no retirement. They're planning on punishing people because when you give the left power, they punish their political enemies, and they've identified their political enemies as refuseniks. You know, they have demanded that you follow their medical edicts, and if you don't, then you will be canned, fired. That's the end of you. See how that goes. And also, the Democrats, completely insane. The NAACP is calling on athletes everywhere, really African-American athletes, to not sign with any teams in Texas because of legislation. Now, you know what? Fine. Just burn everything to the ground. Burn all professional sports to the ground. College sports to the ground. Burn it to the ground. NAACP, ESPN is reporting the story, calls on athletes not to sign with Texas teams due to recent legislation. Because, you know, you got to abort 40% of the black babies, got to kill them in the womb and harvest their organs before they get to the starting line. That's the most important thing to the Democrats is, you know, the party of slavery is exterminating 40% of the black, which is the current statistic, just by the way. Sometimes in New York, it's more than 50%. The Nazis killed about 60% of the Jewish people in Europe. But setting that aside, NAACP sent a letter to the players' associations in five professional sports on Thursday asking players to reconsider signing with teams in Texas because of recent laws passed in the state. This is a fanatical form of political zealotry that will destroy professional sports. The two-page letter from the NAACP, to the extent that it hasn't already been destroyed, President, you know, the World Series is being played between Atlanta and the Houston Astros right now. And so the NAACP president and CEO, Derek Johnson, said the letter was sent to Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, National Hockey League, not a big problem there. The WNBA, not a big problem there either because nobody watches it. You see their victory parade? More people chase the average good humor truck going by. Then came out for the WNBA championship parade. It was a big celebratory parade, saying they shouldn't sign because, you know, they got to uphold your responsibility to support abortion since, you know, more black people are aborted as a percentage of the population. And God, they love abortion, don't they? But there's more. I've got a story from PETA. PETA and professional sports as well coming up.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Big development this week. Sean Spicer's new book has been released. It's called Radical Nation, and it blows the lid off of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's real plan for America. Spicer's Radical Nation reveals the shocking truth about the border crisis and their dangerous plan causing inflation to soar. Everyone is at risk of this new socialism. As White House press secretary, Sean learned how Washington really works. Now he tells the insider secrets in Radical Nation. Tonight, watch Sean on Newsmax's Spicer and Company as he exposes Biden's radical nation. Get your copy of Radical Nation at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Tune in to Spicer and Company at 6 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax. Find it on all major cable systems. Check your guide. Or find Newsmax on most streaming platforms and smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Roku, Zumo, Amazon Fire, Pluto, and more. Sean Spicer's Radical Nation. Get it today.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has a special offer and a lot of people are taking advantage of it. Simply apply by October 30th and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that has shared over $4 billion in medical bills and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Attention American 65 and older. The Medicare annual enrollment period for 2022 has begun. This is the only time to change your Medicare Advantage plan for a whole year. And Smart Match Insurance is here to help. Do you currently have a copay? What about a high deductible? Do you pay extra for dental and vision? Are your out-of-pocket expenses just too high? If you answered yes to any of these, you should call Smart Match. Smart Match is like having a personal Medicare consultant who can help you find plans which include $0 copays, $0 deductibles, even $0 premiums, plus dental and vision coverage for no additional cost. Having the wrong Medicare plan can cost you thousands. Smart Match makes it easy to find the right one with their free, smart, and unbiased help. If you find a plan you like, they can even enroll you on the spot. The Medicare annual enrollment period for 2022 ends soon. The service is free with no obligation, so call Smart Match today. Call 800-991-2534. That's 800-991-2534. 800-991-2534.
Do your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pets' diet.
We started Dinovite and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that helps support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have 2 cats and 2 dogs. All 4 of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Yeah, the NAACP very upset about abortion, and because more parking for everyone else under the Democrats' plan, less traffic on the highway. NAACP says over the past few months, legislators in Texas have passed archaic policies disguised as laws. You guys should get more virulently, radically political. That directly violate privacy rights and a woman's right to choose. Women's right and privacy rights. Oh, like whether to get vaccinated or not must be what they're talking about there. That's what I'm guessing. Sure, a woman's right and a freedom to choose. See, privacy rights, freedom to choose, like being vaccinated. Restrict access to free and fair elections for black and brown voters. Interesting, they pass laws that only affect black and brown voters on election day. Because they know that black people can't get driver's licenses. Too complicated. They know that. And increase the risk of contracting coronavirus. Oh, by being the least vaccinated segment of the population in the United States. Is that what you're, maybe the NAACP should put out a thing on that. Also, that's they just love abortion more than life itself. And black people can't get driver's licenses, so they can't vote. And, you know, under the Democrat plan, you can vote without a driver's license or an ID or a signature or a witness or a postmark with a mail-out ballot at 3 o'clock in the morning at a drop box. And if you can't do that, then the NAACP says your vote is being stolen and suppressed and all that stuff. They're certifiably insane. They're dangerously criminally insane. Also, here's a great one. And this is Victor's favorite story of the day, I think. Is this your favorite story? PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, are calling on Major League Baseball to rename the bullpen. The bullpen, you know, where the pitchers warm up, out in the outfield there. It's called the bullpen. And PETA wants them to rename because they say it's insensitive to cows. It's a bullpen, not a cow pen. It's a bullpen. And they say they want to call it the arm barn. The arm barn? That's like in Iran, they have an arm barn. They chop people's arms off, and then they have a store with arms hanging on the thing, and you can go in and buy arms. You know, it's like, the pottery barn. But they have the arm barn because they dismember a lot of people. I think the Taliban have an arm barn. They want it to call that. And honestly, what is it? You got to. The bullpen is too much, then the Chicago Bulls have to go, right? And then the Chicago Bears have to go, and then the Cubs have to go. And as Victor said this morning, then the New York Jets have to go. Because the Jets, you know, Jets, they spread carbon pollution. And as Victor said, that's bad for the climate and climate change. So the Jets have to go, the bullpen has to go, Chicago Bulls, Chicago Bears, the... practically every team has got to go.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
This is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month only, come down and celebrate Bricktoberfest. Tobacco and Brew is celebrating Oktoberfest this month with Brickhouse Cigars. Buy any 5 Brickhouse Cigars and you will immediately receive a beer mug for free. Holding over 40 ounces of beer, this mug is colossal. Check out our fantastic beer selection while you're here. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane.
It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Football is life. Get in the game. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside seasons. Score with our new Game Grub Buffet. Brace this. Kickoff for cash and prizes. Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard, win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. Some people talk football. We live it at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
That's a bullhorn. See, that's a bullhorn with a leftist behind it. Everybody's a fascist except the people that harvest the organs of 40% of the black population. But never mind that. We should ban bullhorn, too, because what do you mean bullhorn? You can't call it a bullhorn. Bull had nothing to do with that horn. What's up with that? Yeah, PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wanting to ban the word bullpen because it's insensitive to cows. And their brains work as designed, don't they? Amazing. They've got some guy named Chandler Rome. You see this? Is that a guy? You think that's a guy? Well, it looks a little fluid, probably a little fluid, I'm thinking. And Chandler Rome of PETA tweeted out a picture of Ryan Presley warming up, a pitcher warming up, and says, "Ryan Presley throws a bullpen." No, they don't even know how to use the word. No, he's in the bullpen and he's warming up. He's throwing pitches in the bullpen. It's not Ryan Presley throws a bullpen. See, this guy couldn't throw a baseball to save his life. If he tried to throw a baseball, it would hit his foot. And then he'd say, "Ow," and go home crying because he's Chandler Rome. And that's just the way that he goes, you know. Yeah, so they're telling people not to sign because abortion, and then you start with Texas, and then you go to the next place. These guys jumped the proverbial shark so long ago. It's just horrendous. Awful, horrible. It's the left. The left is insane, in case you haven't noticed. You know, the bullpen? Yeah, the bullpen. Yeah, they say, strike out the word bullpen, which refers to the holding area where terrified bulls are kept before slaughter. I don't think that's actually true. In favor of more modern animal-friendly term, like arm barn. Arm barn is more animal-friendly, they say. Words matter, and baseball bullpens devalue talented players and mock the misery of sensitive animals. I don't think bulls are very sensitive. I don't, you should, let's put Chandler Rome in a pen with a bull and see if he thinks they're sensitive. These are crazy people, and they're everywhere. And it seems that they've taken charge of an awful lot. Pretty amazing stuff going on. All right, we've got Virginia, a lot of Virginia stuff to get to, because Terry McAuliffe, and there are new poll numbers out, and they've got to be discouraging to the Democrats. But don't believe anything. Don't rest on your laurels, because the latest Fox News poll shows that there has been a giant swing in the numbers, Virginia, away from Terry McAuliffe in favor of Glenn Youngkin. But I can tell you that in October, the polling was Youngkin 43% and McAuliffe 53%. That's a 10% lead by Terry McAuliffe, the horrible fundraiser who is awful to his wife and to the state of Virginia. So it was 43-53 with McAuliffe in the lead in October. And now it's Youngkin in the lead, 56-42. Now that's one poll. And what we used to call Election Day, I don't know what we call it now, is this coming Tuesday. The Democrats have been voting for 6 weeks or so, and they're already in the lead by hundreds of thousands of votes because, you know, you don't need a postmark, you don't need a date, you can just drop it, you don't need an ID, you can throw it out your car window into a slot at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and nobody's around, and then you can go to an apartment building and get another ballot from the lobby where the mailboxes are, because the Democrats have made everything better. And now we can trust our elections even more, right? Because that's what's going on there. Now, Terry McAuliffe campaigns. Oh, this is a good one, too. I got to get to this. This Terry McAuliffe campaign. Oops. Fox News emailed them and asked them for a comment on something, and they made a big mistake, as it turns out. So the McAuliffe, they start at five, start at number five with the McAuliffe stuff. And they've got Mark Elias, this sleazy Washington lawyer. Is that redundant? That's probably redundant, sleazy Washington lawyer. Which part? Maybe all parts. I'm not sure. It might be doubly redundant. The Terry McAuliffe hires controversial ex-Clinton lawyer Mark Elias. You remember him of Perkins Coie and the Christopher Steele dossier, which was not a dossier at all. It was opposition research that was then pimped by J. Edgar Comey to the FISA courts, being misrepresented to the FISA courts by J. Edgar Comey as legitimate U.S. intelligence, when in fact it was Hillary Clinton's sleazy opposition research. And now, who has the story? Jonathan Turley, the law professor, ended up, because we don't have newspapers that cover this sort of thing. Terry McAuliffe hires controversial ex-Clinton lawyer Mark Elias as a longstanding associate of the Clintons. Virginia Democrat gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe has long ties with the Democratic establishment. That history was placed into sharp relief this week when he made a hefty down payment for on services of the former Clinton counsel Mark Elias of Perkins Coie, now formerly of Perkins Coie. Elias is a crucial figure in the ongoing Durham investigation and has been accused of lying to the media to hide the role of the Clinton campaign in funding the Steele dossier. He lied to everybody, didn't he? His former partner, Michael Sussman, at Perkins Coie, was recently indicted by John Durham. Elias has also led efforts to challenge Democratic losses. You know, they never give up on the thing. When Republicans challenge elections, it's the end of democracy. When Democrats do it, it's keeping democracy alive. You know, that, what's her name, Stacey Abrams, still hasn't conceded that race in Georgia. When was that, like 1948 or something? And we had Terry McAuliffe for years and years and years claimed that the 2000 election was stolen in Florida because they were trying to steal it, but they were stopped by the courts. Even as he denounces Republicans for such election challenges, Elias has been sanctioned in past litigations, meaning he's a sleazy Washington lawyer. Redundant. Like Sussman, Elias has left Perkins Coie. He ironically created a law firm specializing in campaign ethics. Ironically, says Jonathan Turley, the law professor. McAuliffe may be preparing to challenge any win by Republican Glenn Youngkin, because that's what his firm does. He's given $53,680 to the Elias Law Group. McAuliffe does not appear disturbed by Elias's highly controversial career or his possible exposure in the Durham investigation, because they're all slime balls. It's all giant, slimy, political thing out of a bad Hollywood movie, but it's the real world. And Turley says, I previously described news accounts linking the firm and Elias to the dossier scandal. And then Jonathan Turley goes into some detail there. The Washington Post also reported that Elias drew from funds that both the Clinton campaign and the DNC were paying Perkins Coie. The biggest political scandal probably in American history is what happened under the Trump administration, the FBI, the CIA, the Democrat operatives across Washington and law firms and lobbying groups, undermining the president with the phony story about Russian collusion. And this sleazy Washington lawyer, Mark Elias, was right in the middle of that. And that's why he was hired by the sleazy fundraiser politician, Terry McAuliffe. Am I right about that? Yes, I'm right about that. Also, this critical race theory, which McAuliffe lies about, and the Democrats lie about it. They lie about it quite constantly. And then there's this funny email with Fox News, and it is pretty funny. But let me go to this, because this is something that he's been lying about, Terry McAuliffe, and the Democrats are all lying about it, and the media, but, you know, I repeat myself, Democrats media, lying about it as well. Virginia promotes book telling teachers to embrace critical race theory, which McAuliffe says isn't being taught. Fox News actually has this rendition of the story. Book promoted by Virginia Education Department says, quote, teachers need to be taught how to question whiteness, in quotation marks, which is what critical race theory is rooted in, of course, and the radical teaching that America is born of racism, incurable, and really the only way to cure it is to end the United States of America. And that process is well underway. The Democrats are making great headway on that front. Virginia's Department of Education is promoting a book that says teachers must embrace theories such as critical race theory. That's what it says right there. Terry McAuliffe has said throughout his gubernatorial campaign that the radical ideology is not taught in Virginia schools, but the department's website, the Virginia State Department of Education website, provides resources for its equity initiatives, which is not the same as equality, which include a tab titled What We Are Reading. And in that list, comprised of resources, the Equity Office recommends and references in its work, includes books by anti-racist advocate Ibram X. Kendi. He's actually a racist and a racist advocate and an extremist and a radical, and he's anti-American and anti-capitalist. And he's a dedicated racist who should be wearing black sheets and a pointed white hood. Kind of like what Kuhnman, you know, the white sheets that Governor Kuhnman, the Democrat governor of Virginia, was wearing in his medical school yearbook photo, which he admitted to and then later denied when he got a better lawyer, because that's what they do. So Ibram X. Kendi and the Abolitionist Teaching Network co-founder Bettina Love, They're very radical, extreme radical people and mainstream Democrats today. And they're racists and racial, well, they're racists. Lastly, teachers must embrace theories such as critical race theory. I'm reading from the Virginia Department of Education website, right? Lastly, teachers must embrace theories, and it's a theory, such as critical race theory. By the way, the 1619 Project, the first slaves did not arrive. 1619, they arrived under the Spanish in the mid-1500s, but pay no attention to that. Settler colonialism, black feminism, dis/ability, critical race studies. Oh, is that different than critical race theory? And other critical theories, hang on, that have had the ability to interrogate anti-blackness. That's what she wrote in What We Want to Do More Than Survive. We want to do more than survive. Sorry. Abolitionist teaching and the pursuit of educational freedom. So these radicals, and it's right there in the Virginia Department of Education website, directing you to these two radicals who are, you know, masters, can you say that, of critical race theory. And their books are filled with critical race theory, and the Department of Education recommends. No, it doesn't recommend. It says that teachers must, that's the word that's used. Now, Terry McAuliffe yesterday, was it yesterday? Well, Terry McAuliffe said this in the last couple of days. Well, it was yesterday, I think. Yeah, it was yesterday. Terry McAuliffe yesterday lying about what's being taught and not being taught in Virginia schools.
I am sick of them talking about these issues of critical race theory. We do not teach critical race theory here in Virginia. It has never been taught. It is a racist dog whistle. It is pitting parents against parents, parents against teachers, and they're using our children as political pawns, and it has got to stop.
He says as they use our children as political pawns and pit races against one another with critical race theory, the lies couldn't be bigger. If they wanted to have bigger lies, I don't think that they could come up with bigger lies. Christopher Rufo, who is a great journalist, documentary filmmaker. Christopher Rufo, if you haven't watched his documentaries, they're very much worth watching, and his writings also. Christopher Rufo talking about what they're actually doing as opposed to what Terry McAuliffe's lying about.
McAuliffe's idea that it's not taught in Virginia schools is verifiably false. We have records, including actual contract receipts from Loudoun County, Virginia. They actually are paying $625 an hour for consulting that specifically references critical race theory by name.
And, you know, if that's not enough, I just got to tell you. Now, McAuliffe, I got to tell you, McAuliffe, this is what McAuliffe's running on.
This race has become a national race. Virginians are voting for the nation. With us winning independence by double digits and Democrats walking across the aisle and voting for us, this isn't going to be close, Sean. Virginians are making a big statement. We're making a statement that there's a new day ahead of us. Low taxes, the best schools, the best jobs, safe communities, and a government that works for us. It isn't telling us what to do all the time. Oh. These are universal values, and Virginians are ready to step forward and make this race not even close.
That was, of course, Glenn Youngkin, and not McAuliffe at all. That was Glenn Youngkin on the Sean Hannity program last night, and talking about what is really going on. And I'm sorry I teed that up incorrectly, but it is this is an awful, terrible person, McAuliffe, and the Democrat Party is just horrible, and the racial division. It's all they do. And it's hideous and horrendous. I'm appalled by all of it. Man, oh man, I'm telling you. So anyway, that was number seven. And here's McAuliffe. This is what they campaign on.
I was here for you before. Glenn Youngkin will do whatever Donald Trump wants him to do. And it's dangerous for this country. We've got to get past the hatred and division.
As he employs hatred and division and calling everybody racist, and it's the racist dog whistle that if you don't want your children being taught critical race theory by racists like Ibram X. Kendi and these radical leftists and this radical left agenda, the curricula, the books, the reading materials, which are a must, then you're the racist. It is a world turned upside down. It's a sock pulled inside out. It's the opposite of the truth, the opposite of reality. And the opposite of reality, speaking of which, McAuliffe was leading in the polls in October. As I said, 43% to 53%. Now McAuliffe is losing 56% to 42% in the latest poll. But do not rest on your laurels. Do not think that this is over. because by hook or by crook, by any means necessary, they've changed a lot of the rules and the regulations, the laws, without actually changing the laws in the state of Virginia when it comes to voting. Terry McAuliffe is awful. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's what's going on in Virginia. You know, this is a good news poll from Fox. But don't assume anything. That's for sure. Because we know how these things work. And then he's already hired the sleazy lawyer who likes to do recounts and challenge elections, the slimy dossier lawyer from the slimy Clinton dossier. Which was just opposition research dressed up with a French word, like putting perfume on a hooker. You know, one of Hunter Biden's Russian hookers, like that. We're at 888-630-9625.
We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Make your dream a reality. Build wealth for what matters to you. You can buy your dream home. Get investmentadvice.com. Give your child a great education. Get investmentadvice.com. Save for retirement. Get investmentadvice.com. It's easy. Get investmentadvice.com can help you reach your goals. Their innovative investment and financial solutions can assist you in managing your money to build a better future. Visit getinvestmentadvice.com to get started today. That's getinvestmentadvice.com. Paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC.
Getinvestmentadvice.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Companies. If you thought you missed your chance to refinance and save, think again. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and Rocket Mortgage can help you save big when you call 8338-ROCKET today. For example, with a $250,000 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, you could get a new low rate under 3%. If your current rate is over 3.75%, you could lower your payment by over $100 a month, saving thousands in interest. But you've got to act now, because no one knows how long these low rates will last. So when you need a simple way to get big savings, Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket. Refinance offer assumes a rate of 2.99%, 3.21% APR, 70% loan-to-value ratio for the cost of 1.75 points. $4,375 due at closing. Monthly payment of $1,052.66. Taxes and insurance not included. Payment will be greater. Rates current as of 7/26/21. Conditions apply. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Daisy sheds like crazy.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon, cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
Yeah, racial division on the campaign trail, racial division in the media, racial division in the school curricula, and then they lie to you about it. Just like the rape drill, they lied to everybody about that, too. Let's go to Michael calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. I'm listening to your great show, and I couldn't help but dial in, and I wanted to give you my story because it really relates to what you're talking about with CRT in Virginia specifically.
Uh-huh.
We were a Fairfax County family. We had kids in the schools there, high school specifically. And in 2017, a CRT-style campaign was launched at one of these schools to essentially change their name. And it was set up as the kind of the CRT basics, oppressor versus oppressed. And fundamentally, it was great because I was put into a formal committee to research this issue ahead of the name change. And I was able to get into the school, talk to the students, do some survey work. More importantly, after I was able to put a report together based on my own training as a social scientist, I was able to approach the Secretary of Education in Virginia at that point and present my findings. And I have eight findings that are specific to Phil Zimbardo. He was a one-time president of the American Psychological Association, and his research on what he calls the time paradox, which is, I'll get to the point here, it's what happens when people's mindset gets into a past negative mindset. Historical grievances and that kind of issue. How it affects teenagers is what I came up with. So using eight objective measures and actually having a control group from another Fairfax County high school nearby with similar demographics, I have significant findings that I presented to the secretary.
I'm afraid I've run out of time on you. I'm sorry to say.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.